with the present situation. Do you? 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 if you are in Collier County. So I think we'll probably stop for a break right now, and you're listening to the Guy James Show on our new time here, and stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wing WNOG.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
Daybreak with Dave Elliott.
This story will infuriate people, I think. There's the state Supreme Court in Seattle, Washington, ruled Thursday that a mother violated Washington's privacy law by eavesdropping on her daughter's phone conversation. I think mom should have the right to monitor their kids' phone calls. I'm not that much of a screaming, bleeding heart liberal that I understand the significance of that.
A fresh new way to start the day. Daybreak with Dave Elliott on AM 1240 and 1270. Wink WNOG.
If you have diabetes, you already know you could develop kidney failure, lose a limb, or go blind. But did you know that 2 out of 3 people with diabetes actually die from heart disease or stroke? Lower your risk of heart disease and stroke by lowering your blood sugar, blood pressure, and cholesterol. Ask your doctor to tell you more about the link between diabetes and heart disease, or call 1-800-DIABETES. A message from the American Diabetes Association and the American College of Cardiology.
Why can't I get a monkey?
Why can't you catch a whale with a worm?
Dad, can we go to the moon on vacation?
If you think it's tough answering these questions, imagine the ones you'll get if your child is diagnosed with cancer. CureSearch.org is a website that can help. It connects you to the doctors and scientists whose collaborative research has turned childhood cancer from a nearly incurable disease to one with an overall cure rate of 78%. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel.
Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
All right, here we are back with you. And to those of you on the internet, I am not Cigar Dave or whoever it was you were listening to. I thank all the people on the internet for letting us know about that here in the station. There are many radio stations here at the studios, and some kind of a wire crossed somewhere, and I do apologize to my listeners for that. I don't know whether to start over or what. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540 here locally, and 263-6570 in Collier County. So, where do we start? All of our people on the internet, and from taking a look at the stream we got started here, the thread we have started in Democratic Underground, we have hundreds of people that were listening to the Cigar Dave Show. Let me tell you something. I don't know anything about cigars. Don't know, don't care to, or anything like that. So we did a long, drawn-out talk to those of you that didn't hear the first part of the show that we're not happy with the efforts of the Democratic Party. Right now, we think they've almost totally wimped out. I don't think, I'm just not happy with it at all. And I know very many of you are not happy with it either. I've seen no concentrated effort by anybody to do anything constructive so far. There's been all the infighting going on in the party. What's going to happen? And, we're Democrats. It's a jumbled up mess. It's a true jumbled up mess. And we've got these people about the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, for those of you who don't know what that stands for. And they're trying to take over the party. We've got the Howard Dean people that want Howard to take over the party and take over being chairman of the party. And I think I'm going to come down on that side. In fact, I know I am. I'll be damned if I want anybody from the DLC to be chairman of the party. If it do, we might as well just merge with the Republicans right now. I think Howard Dean would be very, very good, great chairman of the party. The guy's got fire in his belly, and I think we need that. It's something that's been lacking for a long, long time. And you know what else about Howard Dean? He was not my first choice to be our presidential nominee. All of you that listen regularly know that. But Howard Dean is sincere. I love that about him. And like I said, he's got guts. He's got fire in the belly. And I think we need that in the chairmanship of the Democratic National Committee. So he's the guy I'm going for on this. And I know many, many of you are too. We've been hearing that all over the Internet. All of our Internet friends have certainly said that. I have to say Howard's a... Well, from what I can see on the websites that I've visited, Howard's got to be at least a 10-to-1 favorite. So we do hope that comes to fruition. Well, what do you think about the tsunami? What do you think about the DLC? What do you think about all these this shortage of Democratic radio we were talking about a little bit earlier? Give us a call, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. And we're going to pause for a quick break right now. We'll be right back. Well, I guess we're not going to pause for a quick break right now. All righty then. We'll get this straightened out sometime. Sorry about that. How many of you heard about this James Dobson this past week? I suppose all of you heard about the most... You know, I happen to pick this up. I follow the stuff of Falwell and Dobson and all these crackpots on the far right. And, you know, Dobson is now threatening any senator who votes against any of Bush's nomination for the federal and Supreme Court. Now, what a treat this guy is. He's some sort of a self-proclaimed messiah with millions of followers who think every word he spits out is gospel, and he doesn't even have the normal credentials a man of the cloth would possess. You know, he's a charlatan of the highest order. And now he's threatening Democratic United States senators, telling them if they don't vote the way he wants them to on those judgeships, he'll target them for defeat the way he did Tom Daschle. You know, these far-right fundies are feeling their oats, and they're really determined to take over the country and take us back a few centuries to the day of Torquemada and the Grand Inquisitors. These people are nuts. Plain and simple, they're whacked out, power-hungry, Looney Tunes, insane. And now they have Bush in their back pockets, and they're going to push and shove and throw their weight around just like we predicted would happen should Bush win last November. And frankly, I'm afraid of them. I'm afraid of them and what they might do to this country. You know, Bush's agenda is bad enough, but when you link him up with these religious wackos, it's a downright frightening scenario. Think about it. Guys like Dobson, Falwell, Pat Robertson calling the shots, setting the rules for what can be taught in our schools and universities, being in charge of so-called faith-based initiative involving charitable giving. You're hungry? Just see Dobson, Falwell, or Robinson, and if you're deemed worthy, that is, if you behave the way they want you to, if you meet the criteria, they'll give you something to eat. You know, you heard about mullahs in Iran stoning people to death for transgressions against Islam? Hangings, amputations, and so forth for breaking the laws of the Quran? Remember the Salem witch trials? Well, guys like Robinson, Falwell, and Dobson would be right at home in any of those situations. Do you think that's far-fetched? I don't. You ever see the look in any of those guys' faces when they're talking about Armageddon and the rapture? I don't know about you, but they sure scare hell out of me. They most certainly do. And let's go to the phones and let's talk to Jim in Fort Myers. Hi, Jim.
Hey, Guy. I just wanted to welcome you to the evening show on Wink and Nib Energy. It's nice to be able to listen to you at night. And I agree with you. It's really nice to have, you know, after a week of predictable and sometimes trite, you know, conservative viewpoints, it's really nice to get a different viewpoint to sort of evaluate politics and the issues that are going on throughout the week. And I have a couple of quick questions. One is, what did you think of the Gonzalez hearings before the selection committee? And two, what do you think of the whole U.S. effort in the Southeast with helping the victims of the tsunami? Do you think it's PR at its worst? Do you think it's genuine? What is your opinion on those two things?
Well, first of all, Jim, thanks for your call. And secondly, you know, as far as the Gonzales hearings, I'm afraid of Gonzales. I think he's an extremist. I don't think he's looking much like an extremist right now. I've heard several of the senators say in regards to his approving of the torture, so-called torture memo, regardless of what your feelings are upon that, many, many people on the right now are saying, well, you know, look, that's only one mistake that he's made, and it was a mistake. It's only one thing that you've got against him. Well, I remember a guy named Sam Shepard, and a lot of our younger listeners won't remember Sam Shepard. I'm sure you do, Jim.
Yeah.
But Sam Shepard was a physician in Cleveland, Ohio, who lived an exemplary life. He was a fine doctor, a good family man, a good neighbor, all this thing. And he spent much of his life in prison for killing his wife because he only did one bad thing in his life. But that precluded him from living the rest of his life. And I'm not saying I think...
what was the bad thing he did?
Well, he killed his wife.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the one thing. Other than that, he lived a clean, almost spotless life, other than killing his wife. And I just think that with Gonzales, I almost want to, you know, say, well, okay, he only did one thing in his life. But I do think I do think the mindset one would have to approve of that particular memo would certainly preclude him from being...
Well, it did seem like there was a lot of, forgive my French, but... Did seem like there was a lot of butt kissing on the part of his, you know, of folks like Orrin Hatch, and even Senator Kennedy seemed a little nice to him.
Oh, most certainly. Hey, Jim, we're up against a hard break right here. Thank you for your call. I'll get to the other question right after we come back for the break.
All right.
Thank you. We're going to pause for the bottom of the hour break right now here on WPTK WNOG, and we'll be back. In just a couple of minutes, you stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media, the Guy James Show.
Environmental Defense presents Let's Make a Difference, where we test one lucky contestant's level of environmental knowledge. Ready, Kevin?
Ready.
When buying seafood, can you tell which are caught in an environmentally friendly way?
Definitely.
Are you lying?
Absolutely.
Time's up! And Kevin, I'd say you're more than capable of making a positive difference in the environment.
I am?
That's right! Simply visit GetGreen.com to learn how choosing seafood that's plentiful or caught in an environmentally friendly way can help keep our oceans healthy and full of fish. That's GetGreen.com. This has been an Ad Council and Environmental Defense production.
His first pictures were supposed to be in his mother's arms. His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years weren't supposed to be such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, before 37 weeks of pregnancy. That's 1 in 8 of all births. Nearly half the time, there is no known cause. Many are born so soon and so small, they face serious lifelong health problems. Others don't survive the first year. Please support March of Dimes research, so we can learn more about the causes of premature birth and how to prevent it. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
Somebody's got to say it.
You talk about people that are out of touch with reality.
That's why Neil Bortz is on the radio.
Anybody that would put a bumper sticker on their car bragging that their kid is an honor student at a government school, these people don't have a clue. What is an honor student at a government school? A seventh grade honor student is one that can read to a fourth grade level. These people actually believe that there's such a thing as an honor student at a government school. They don't know what's going on. Hey, I'm Neil Bortz. Your daily dose of reality starts weekday mornings at 10 on Wink WNOG.
Your weekend station, Wink WNOG. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Yes, indeed. Here we are back with you. And, you know, I want to continue on. And by the way, give us a call, 888-602-7500-7501. 02, 03, and 04, 479-5540 here locally, or 263-6570 for all of our friends listening down in Collier County on WNOG 1270. Glad to have you along with us as well. got our streaming issues all figured out here, and my goodness, we're on three stations right now. So, hey, I do want to answer Jim's question. What did I think about the American response to the terrible tsunami tragedy? I plan on talking about that a little bit more in the program, later in the program. But right now, I was at first embarrassed, as many people were, when that $15 million figure came out of the president's mouth. And then, $35 was next, and then he started hearing from people. He was at his ranch for 3 days before he even said much about it. And I don't know. By then, as you know, I don't give the guy much of a break, but he's the leader of the free world. I don't think he needs to get a break. I think he needs to know what to do. I think he needs to know the proper decorum, what to do and when to do it, but it doesn't seem like he does. And it doesn't seem like he's learned anything in the last 4 years. I'm at the ranch. I'm taking a vacation. I'm not going to say anything about one of the worst tragedies of our time for a couple of 3 days. So finally, he pledges $35 million, which, again, was an embarrassment. And when he found out it was politically tough for him to pledge only $35 million, then he bumped it up to $350. And, yes, our Navy's over there helping. I'm so proud of those people over there helping. But we are America, for crying out loud. We are. And so many of us that live in this wonderful country have been so proud of that fact. And here we are now down to about, I think, 22nd of developed countries around the world, 22nd in economic assistance to the rest of the world. And that embarrasses me. It really does. We are still the richest nation on earth, and here we are 22nd in our giving of economic aid. And I've heard many of the right-wing columnists and pundits right now saying, oh, what do you want to help those ragheads for? They're all Islamics and, Muslims, and they'll kill us as soon as we end up helping. I don't care. I don't care what happens in the future. We're in the now. And in the now, there are millions of people terribly hurt and distressed and without food and without shelter and without the basic necessities of this life. And as Americans, we cannot stand by and see that. We can't. We simply can't. Not the decent people of this nation, anyway. It's go ahead and be stingy and be a squirrel and pack away all your nuts in the wintertime, but I'll tell you something. We've been a generous nation for much of this country's existence. We haven't been lately. But we will continue to be, and I hope our government won't be embarrassed anymore by the initial actions we took this week. I don't know what other presidents would have done. I really don't. But I think it behooved our president to jump in there immediately and say that the worst natural disaster in recorded history, lately anyway, in the last 200-300 years, the worst. But we're there now. We've got our Navy's there doing a lot to help. They're making fresh water. They're getting food in as often as they can, as much as they can. Have you ever seen any more ghastly pictures than those coming up? I don't mean the ones that have been on the news at night. Have you seen some of the internet pictures? Amazing. Amazing. I've seen, in order to know what goes on in this world, I've watched some pretty terrible things. I saw the films of those beheadings not too long ago. Some horrible, unspeakable things. But this is the worst thing I've ever seen. The very worst. We're going to talk about Mr. Limbaugh's take on it in a little while. Let's go to the phones right now and talk to Bob in Cape Coral. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Guy. How are you doing today? How was your holidays?
Well, good. Very quiet and very nice and very relaxed.
Got to sit back and relax.
Yes.
That's great. Hey, you know, I kind of agree with you what we were talking about earlier. You were talking earlier about how the wackos are coming out now saying this is God's wrath over there because, you know, the sinners that go there for tourism and did you hear about that? That they've been coming out with that.
Oh, yeah. It has been some wild things.
It's amazing to me. And I agree with you, too, about, I was a supporter of Kerry, too, and I'm disappointed now because we should have just have gone with Dean in the first place and just supported him 100% with the anti-war. I mean, Kerry didn't even come out strong enough against it, and I think that just swayed the support the other way.
I agree. Our base, I think we lost some of our base. I think we lost some of the Republicans who don't like this war. Someone please tell me, and don't get me wrong, I've said before, and I think Bob will probably agree with me here, caller Bob. You know, John Kerry's a great guy, he's a good American and all that, but he needed to have a solid position on the war, and I just don't think he did. If anybody knows what his solid position is, call us. I'd like to hear.
No, I agree with that. And I was wondering, what do you think about a strategy of, you know, a wink-wink strategy like the Republicans do? You know that the abortion issue is just a smokescreen. You know they're not going to overturn Roe v. Wade, but they're using it as a tool to defeat the Democrats. Also, too, the gay issues. You know they're not going to do anything about the ban on, you know, the gay ban, you know, bans and stuff like that. I'm like, why don't we just have those groups, like, be quiet during the election, and just like the Republicans do, and then let us get the, you know, let us win, and then we can make the changes.
Well, you know, Bob, the only trouble with that is we're Democrats, and you can't get another Democrat to shut up. They're going to make their point no matter what, and like you said, we've got that big tent, and everybody in it in the Democratic Party is allowed to speak, and that's the way it's always going to be with us. But, you know, the thing that really bothers me about what goes on during election time and so forth is the radical extremist on both sides of the issues. You know, we had... and you know how we Democrats always get painted with that. If there's something really extremist out there, you know all the crap that was going around about how the Democrats hated Christmas.
Right.
And then that artist in New York or wherever he was taking the cross, the crucifix, and displaying it in an art exhibit in a jar of urine. Why, that guy must be a Democrat, everybody said. You know, the extremists just kill us. They just kill us.
Well, Guy, you know what happens to a lot? Like, I've talked to a lot of people, and I would ask them, I said, why are you voting a Republican? And a lot of them was the gay marriage was a big, big issue in this particular election, I mean, for a lot of fence sitters. And what concerns me, and don't get me wrong, I am for gay marriage, I'm for gay rights, no problem. What concerns me is that they watch TV, and a lot of the TV shows now, I mean, you got the gay, you know, Queer Eye for, you know, straight guy and straight woman now they're coming out with all these shows, and I think it concerns those people because they don't really understand that, you know, you don't have to watch it, but they think like they're taking over the culture. And I just wish that they kind of lay back a little bit during election time. And this gay marriage issue coming up right during the election really hurt the Democrats a lot because it turned so many of those people that were on the fence. They were so worried the Democrats were just going to push to, you know, allow gay marriage and all that. And I just think they just need to lay back a little bit and let us get elected first.
Hey, Bob, you've got a great point. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Good to hear from you. Let me see here. Let's go to over to we're going to go to Alice, clear over in Humboldt County. Hi, Alice.
Hi.
Good.
Hi, Guy.
How are you?
Well, okay. I'm 90 years old.
Well, if you're 90 years old and you're doing okay, I guess maybe that's better than I can say for myself a lot of times. I'm not in your age bracket, but I hope to get there someday.
Well, I think Howard Dean will be a great Democratic leader, but it won't matter as long as the Republicans have these voting machines. I believe Kerry and Edwards won big, but for all the Republicans cheating. And I'm very proud of Senator Boxer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am, too. You know, out of, what do we got, 47 Democratic senators right now? Is that what it is, 47?
Mm-hmm.
It's the only one that had the guts enough to stand up. And, you know, and let's make it clear here. Nobody thought that hearing the other day, that electoral vote confirmation, whatever you want to call it, nobody thought that any of that was going to turn the election around. We just wanted to shine the spotlight on the fraud and deceit and so forth and terrible voting mistakes that took place. And yet, one female senator, out of all the Democratic senators, only one had the guts to stand up and take a stand against these election problems. And I am so proud of Senator Barbara Boxer for that, too, and so terribly disillusioned and disenchanted with the rest of my Democratic senators.
Yeah. As long as we have some good ones in there.
We do, but I just think here in the last few months, the last year or two, of a lot of them have just been afraid. We're in the minority right now, and they don't want to speak out. And the only thing they worry about is their re-election, and that troubles me. Hey, Alice, thanks so much for calling.
Yeah, have a good day.
Thanks. Let's go on over to Bill in South Fort Myers. Hi, Bill.
Hey, hi, Guy. Welcome to your time slot.
Thank you.
Well, I was thinking about how the what the damage that the Republicans have this majority now, the damage they're doing to the system and the House of Representatives, they're trying to knock down any ethics rule they can find. And they've got a rule now that only Republicans can be hired as a lobbyist. That's so clearly wrong.
Oh, man.
And no Republican can put an amendment on a bill. And now, to top it off, they're going to go into the Senate and do away with the filibuster. Now, what's going to happen to our country when we have nothing but fascism where nobody can offer any resistance to anything?
Well, you know, Bill, here we go again. It's one of those things. Re-election is the all-important thing. That's all
right.
The only thing they think about is getting re-elected. I really I don't know how many of you saw that here a while back, and it was clear back in, I don't know, the middle of December when Senator Fritz Hollings was interviewed right before leaving office. And,
yeah.
You know, and he's always one that would speak out. And I can't say that I was shocked by anything he said, but he certainly told what the atmosphere is like in the United States Senate about how the day you take office, you start raising funds again and spend several hours a day, every day of your term,
right,
trying to raise money and kissing up to these lobbyists and so forth. It's a terrible situation.
Well, look at the corporations. We're so asleep now. We have these drugs out here that are not safe. And where did we ever get this term aftermarket testing?
Oh, yeah.
Think about that for a minute.
Yeah.
That means we don't know if it's safe, but we can't get the money until we market it. So we're going to have an aftermarket test, and we sit here, we're so drunk on corporations that we don't even notice what's being done to us.
Oh, exactly right. And you know, this aftermarket test, and even some of the, what was this one, this arthritis pain medicine drug here recently that was, Celebrex?
I can't remember the name of it.
Celebrex.
Right.
Actually, to tell you the truth, I had some personal experience with that.
Right.
It had so many side effects, and I'm one. I never was affected with side effects of any medicine or drug I ever took in my life except the Celebrex. But here we come to find out that the company knew, they just plain knew, that it was killing people.
It was dangerous. And of course,
they knew it.
Why can't we import drugs? Oh, it's too dangerous.
Too dangerous.
We have to make our own drugs.
Ah, yeah, but our American... And does anyone really think for 1 minute that any of these giant mega pharmaceutical companies care much about anything except the bottom line?
Not really.
No.
I wanted to say something. You were saying, too, I watch these religious, so-called religious leaders on television, and they are a bunch of nutcases. But what the real tragedy is, and... the people of faith in this country, they're the ones that do things. They do charity all the time. They're the ones down at the soup kitchen. They're the ones giving out free legal advice. They're helping the Salvation Army. They have a good reputation, and they deserve it. And then we get Ralph Reed and Pat Robertson trying to glom onto their good reputation. And I don't know if you heard about this or not, but Ralph Reed is on record that he will never work for any casino, and he's against gambling. I know plenty of people that are very good people of faith that gamble, but I think he must have read that book Bill Bennett wrote about how you can't have character if you're a gambler or something. But Ralph Reed is on record. He will never work for a casino and has just received a check for $14 million from the Indian casinos to his own personal bank account. And you good conservatives, think about that for a minute. This guy is not a person of faith. He's a fraud. And he's taking us for a ride.
Oh, absolutely. He was involved in that deal down in Louisiana and Texas with the two tribes pitted against each other.
Well, his defense is, get this, he won't work for a casino, but if a lobbying group is working for a casino, he'll help the lobbying group. See, he's not really taking the money from the casinos. You follow that? You got to really be faithful to believe something like that.
Oh, yeah, and if everything was on the up and up with good old Ralph, why did he have his mailing address at some, what was it, I'm trying to think, Cape May, New Jersey, one of the beach towns, had a beach house be the office for this, you know, this outfit that gave him the, it's a mess.
And how about Armstrong Williams? You know, why would
we plan on talking about Armstrong
okay,
Williams.
Okay, I won't ruin it for you, but the thing is, if he had to take money from the Republicans, why couldn't he take it from the wealthy corporations or an individual? No, he had to take tax money for a bribe. How pathetic is that?
Oh, is it?
And the last thing about Judge Gonzales, I listened, not all the hearings, but part of them, I listened to him at night on the reruns, And it was obvious that Judge Gonzales was with Governor, then Governor George W. in Texas, that he was too dumb to be a governor. They couldn't even give him a statement on a piece of paper. They had to take it and grind it up like baby food and spoon-feed the information to Governor Bush back in Texas because he couldn't understand anything or he was too lazy to try to understand. And now that he's the president and the polls were going down because the things were going bad in Iraq, he told Gonzales to find, don't tell me what the law is about torture. I'll tell you what I want you to find, and you go find it, and don't let the military get involved in it, because the military will never allow anything like that, because once we start to torture our enemy, it's going to come right back on our people. And if anybody tortures our people, they go to the gallows after the war's over.
That's right.
That's why the military would never go along to it, and it was intentionally, the U.S. Code of Military Justice was left out of it, because the military would never allow this kind of torture that we've been doing in Iraq.
And you know, Bill, I don't see the kind of fight that I want to see out of the Democrats over this. I really don't. I see a few of them raising Cain, but not like they ought to.
Well, I don't know about you, guy, but I'm not getting any younger, but I'll never be a Me Too Republican. If we never get a majority, I don't care. I want to be a Democrat. I don't want to be a Me Too Republican, and I'm proud to be a liberal Democrat.
Bill, thank you so much
thank
for your call.
Guys.
Good to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 02, 03, and 04. You're listening to The Guy James Show. We'll be right back after a couple of messages. Don't go away.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Son, you're a young man now. I just wanted to take a few minutes and talk about, well, about men and women.
I know all about that stuff.
Now, you might know a little biology, but do you know how to treat a woman?
How do I treat a woman, Dad?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to figure it out for yourself.
How?
Well, first I suggest you watch a lot of bad TV and violent movies and observe how women get treated there.
Okay, I'm kind of doing that already. What else?
Well, be sure to take careful note of what irresponsible older boys say at school.
I sure will.
Sometimes the only message boys get is the wrong one. By teaching boys early that violence against women is wrong, you can help prevent domestic violence. For tips on what to say, visit www.endabuse.org. End abuse. Teach early. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council and the Family Violence Prevention Fund.
In Florida, call 1-800-500-1119. Brought to you locally by the Florida Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Okay, class. Today we're going to read out loud. Who wants to go first?
Please don't call me. Please don't call me.
If your child struggles in school, listen to the little voice inside your head. Get help now. A lot of kids who struggle are smart. They just learn differently. For free information, visit www.focusonlearning.org. Focusonlearning.org. Or call 1-888-478-MIND. A message from the Advertising Council and the CCLD.
Wink, WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
So good to be back after the holiday hiatus, and you are listening to the Guy James Show at our new time on our new stations, and we're so happy to be here. We'll be here every Saturday from 7 to 10 p.m. on Wink, 1240 a.m. in Fort Myers, and WNOG, 1270 a.m. in beautiful Naples, Florida. So welcome, and welcome to all of our friends on the Internet as well. We're very, very glad to have you along with us, and we hope everybody will get used to the new time. 888-602-7500 or 7501, 7502, 7503, or 7504 for your toll-free call. Call us on our nickel. And if you live in beautiful Collier County, 263-6570. And here in gorgeous Lee County, 479-5540. How's the weather where you at? My goodness, I heard from my brother this evening. Oh, he got hit with that 22 inches of snow up in Ohio there over the holidays, you know. And now they got hit with an ice storm. He said the other morning, his little town where he lives looked like a tornado had hit it. There were so many trees down with the ice. And he lives in a small town of about 13,000. The power has been out since Wednesday, almost in the whole town. And they're not expecting to have it back until Tuesday. And this is in Ohio. This isn't in North Dakota or someplace. I mean, this, but what a mess. What a mess, Mother Nature. Mother Nature has not been kind this year so far. We're off to a rocky start, and, well, we hope it'll get better. It's been gorgeous here. You can tell how nice the weather is here in Southwest Florida by how many cars are on the road. There's a direct correlation between the two, let me tell you. And there's a direct correlation between how bad the weather is up north and how many cars are on the road down here. The airports are busy, people coming in by the... Oh, my. Many, many, many. So, but that's one of the trials and tribulations. I live in a beautiful area that is truly paradise here. It's about 84 degrees today. Sun was shining. It was just gorgeous. Well, let's take a phone call. Let's go over and talk to Michael. He wants to talk about the Boxer Rebellion. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Guy. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty glad to be here, and I'm glad you're here, too.
Yeah. I'm not sure of your new tie, but I do like it.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you. I'm glad it works out for you.
Yes. Well, I have to say, with this Boxer Rebellion, I have to admit that I'm part of that because I was institutional, or not, I guess I should be institutional. I was instrumental in getting Barbara Boxer first elected to Senate.
Oh, my. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Michael is a man of many talents to a lot of you listening around here. He's an elect. You went to Camp Wellstone this year, didn't you?
Twice.
Yes. Mike, does your heart warm every time you think of Paul Wellstone the way it does?
Oh, me? I cry every time I think of Paul Wellstone.
Yeah.
He's the best man, and I'm going to do things that's going to make him proud of me, being a proud liberal.
Well, you know, if we had 47 guys and gals like Paul Wellstone, we wouldn't have a problem in the party, would we?
You're right.
And if we had 47 people in the Senate like Paul Wellstone, we wouldn't be in a deficit right now. We'd have the majority in the Congress.
You're right. We'd also have good health care.
Yes, yes.
That's why I'm a DENIAC, Howard DENIAC, Howard Dean supporter.
What do you think his chances are of getting the chairmanship?
Well, I think they're pretty good, but I've been working hard to try and get that across to everybody. You know.
I know you have.
Yeah.
I know you have. And probably Steve been helping you, too.
Yes.
Well, I hope he gets in, and I think he's got a darn good chance. Would the powers that be in the party dare go against a huge majority down here in the grassroots? I don't think they dare do it.
Well, they're not smart enough to... understand what the hell's going on. You know?
Yeah, I know sometimes...
That's the problem.
Sometimes it doesn't look like they know what's going on, but
yeah.
That's our job. You know, Michael, I know you did such a tremendous amount of work in this past election, and I know Steve did, and I know so many of us did here in Southwest Florida and all across America. And I felt let down by the national leadership. I didn't think they did the job they could have done.
But, you know, one thing, Guy, will never give up.
Nope. That's
never
right.
Surrender.
That's
my motto.
You bet.
Yes.
Well, Barbara Boxer had the courage to do it. I was so proud of her. I saw the moment, and I couldn't have been more proud of her. I just wish she'd have had some more support.
Yes, I do too.
I.
Did you see Dennis was finishing his speech on?
Yes, I did.
He was great.
Yes, he was. Dennis, not one to mince words, and you know I love that about Dennis Kucinich,
yeah.
And I love that about people like Paul Wellstone and people that get up and speak their mind instead of trying to play patty cake with people. We need more of it.
We need more Paul Wellstones in the world.
Well, we'll keep working on getting more Paul Wellstones. You know they're out there. There's people like yourself. There's people like our friend Steve that you and I both know. There's many more Paul Wellstones out there. We just got to get them into positions of leadership, and if we work hard enough, we can do that.
Yes, yeah, Steve is a great man.
Yes, yes, we've got.
I'm going to use him as my campaign manager when I run for office.
There you go, and he'd be a good one too.
You bet.
Hey, Michael, thanks so much for your call, and thanks for tuning in to our new time. And be sure and tell everybody else about it.
I will.
Thank you. Bye now.
Up to you. Bye, Jeff.
There's a guy right there who is about as learned as you can get about the Democratic Party and about as hard a worker as you'll ever find. A man is extremely extremely intelligent and a very, very bright man and well-spoken man, and we love him. We really do. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504. You know, I was talking a little bit earlier about how these politicians only care about one thing, about getting reelected. And, you know, I was going back to what Fritz Hollings was talking about. And I just quote a few things out of that interview with him. He said, "I'm sick of raising money to get reelected. I'm going home to Charleston." You know, some real insights. He said, "When I got up there, it was hardly a breakfast or an evening reception. Now there are three breakfasts, three receptions. Now we don't work here on Fridays. We're back home doing fundraisers. You got to collect money." And he said it was all about the money. He said, "There ain't no question. At my last campaign 6 years ago, it was $8.5 million. That figures out to $30,000 a week, each week, every week, for 6 years they had to raise. So if I miss a week, this time, Christmas week or New Year's week, I'm $60,000 in the hole, and I got to hurry up and start playing catch-up ball." Remember, this is a United States senator saying this. You know, he said, "Senators spend hours a day, almost every day, just working the phones to raise cash." Think about that. Get that picture, get that image in your mind of your senator, our senator, wherever you may live, him sitting in his palatial office, and they are palatial in the United States Senate, let me tell you, they really are, been there. They're all really something. But there they sat with their feet up on the desk, with the phone, maybe it's on speakerphone, so they don't have to hold on to the phone, raising money. Raising money all afternoon, calling this guy, calling that guy, patting this guy on the back, that guy in the back, talking to this lobbyist, that lobbyist, money, 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 got to raise more money this afternoon. I got to raise $30,000 this afternoon. Senator, we have business to do. Never mind. I'm raising money, money, money for my election campaign. But we've got official United States Senate. Never mind. I'm raising money this afternoon. I got to have more, 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 more money. It's a sorry picture, isn't it? It sure is to me. Hate to think of it, that's the way it is. I don't think our founding fathers ever intended it to be that way. Hey, we got news coming up at the top of the hour. You're listening to The Guy James Show, Wink WNOG, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida. We'll be back after the news. Stay tuned.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station, Wink WNOG.
CBS News, I'm Dave Barrett. Engineers from the U.S. Marines are helping get Sri Lankan towns cleared of debris. In Pidawela, a place completely flattened by the tsunami, basic facilities are being rebuilt. This survivor gives thanks.
Many countries help us, so it is an encouragement.
But the head of the World Food Organization says a huge relief effort is needed for 6 months to feed 2 million people in the region. To Banda Aceh, Indonesia, and CBS's Byron Pitts.
The U.S. military is now delivering 62 tons of aid every day to villages and remote places unreachable just a few days ago.
Every day, the helicopter pilots and air crews are finding the locations quicker and quicker, and they're flying better and better.
But for the bereaved and the broken, better is a word without meaning.
You hope God will give you patience.
Mm-hmm. Patience in a place that for now only knows pain. Byron Pitts, CBS News, Banda Aceh, Indonesia.
India's Nicobar Islands were very hard hit by the tsunami. CBS's Ranjan Gupta was in Port Blair and went to a refugee camp just as children were getting a meal.
They all lined up in a very orderly manner, and they were given a bowl of rice with a little potato curry. It wasn't too much, but nobody asked for more. Nobody complained.
Ranjan Gupta said he stayed at a local hotel and was allowed to get one bucket of water and was told by the management that they were not responsible if the building collapsed. 6 months in a military prison for Army Platoon Sergeant Tracy Perkins. His assault conviction at Texas's Fort Bragg also means a demotion in rank. And Perkins ordered two Iraqi men to enter the Tigris River after they were found violating curfew early last year. One of those men allegedly drowned, but no body was ever recovered. Another body found in Graniteville, South Carolina, the ninth victim of the chlorine gas release following the collision of a freight train and a locomotive. Federal safety official Debbie Herzman says 40 tons of crushed lime are now being spread to neutralize chlorine on the ground.
We are leaving the work to the professionals who need to clean the area up, do the remediation necessary, get the product out of the tank, the four tanks that are still on site, and get the residents back into their homes.
5,400 residents remain evacuated, and they may not get back home until Tuesday. Cam Cleland is not a household name. He had only caught a half dozen footballs this pro season, but his seventh catch was his best. With just over 2 minutes to go, Cleland gathered in a 17-yard touchdown pass. That breaks a 20-all tie, and the St. Louis Rams win their wild-card NFL game 27-20, the final over Seattle. Coming up, New York Jets, a wild-card team playing at San Diego. This is CBS News.
For lunch all day.
Me too, Natalie.
Now, 2004 was Southern Nissan's biggest year. We sold more new Nissans because we sold them for less. Well, we're going to get bigger in 2005. Bigger savings. We will not let any other Nissan dealer take our title as king of Altima value. Don't pay over $20K for your all new 05 Altima. $15,988. That's all you pay. And that's why we say at Sutherland, when the price ends in 88, savings are great. $15,988 loaded. Stereo CD, tilt cruise, factory air. Power everywhere. Naples, I'm not kidding. Lehigh Acres, more than fair. When you buy a new Nissan at Sutherland, there's always a happy ending because you always save extra dollars, and that happens every day. The Sutherland Way. Smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shops on Taneyami Trail. Your all-new 05 loaded Altima. $15,988 at Florida's true king of Altima value. Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
PINs 124-989-228-185. Price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, stock prep, and emission fees.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
What do our opponents mean when they apply to us the label liberal? If by liberal they mean, as they want people to believe, someone who is soft in his policies abroad, who is against local government, and who is unconcerned with the taxpayer's dollar, then the record of this party and its members demonstrate that we are not that kind of liberal. But if by a liberal they mean someone who looks ahead and not behind, someone who welcomes new ideas without rigid reactions, someone who cares about the welfare of the people, their health, their housing, their schools, their jobs, their civil rights and their civil liberties, someone who believes that we can break through the stalemate and suspicions that grip us in our policies abroad, if that is what they mean by a liberal, then I'm proud to say that I'm a liberal.
Ah, yes. Every time I talk about being a liberal, I hear that. And I stand proud as a liberal. Hey, Guy James here with you. On Wink WNOG, 1240 a.m., 1270 a.m. in Naples and Fort Myers, Florida. Here we are on our new time, 7 to 10 p.m. Lots of you listening on the Internet tonight. Glad to have you along with us. Some of our regulars, glad to have those along with us, too, here on the Democratic Underground. It's, it's kind of like getting a new car or something. We're just kind of trying it out this evening, working out all the bugs, and we'll get all the bugs worked out. We got Biz in the control room. I think maybe this is Biz's last show with us. We're going to have somebody new, maybe not, maybe one more. And we're going to do things a little different from time to time, so stay tuned. We're going to have a couple of things, might be a little funny every week. We're going to work on that as well. Talking about funny. I get to the phone in just 1 second. Let me compose myself. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 03, and 04. If this weren't so deadly serious, Armstrong Williams. What are the chances, do you think, that he's the only right-winger being paid to spew the propaganda from the White House, huh? Limbaugh, Hannity, the entire Fox network, including Mr. Pervert O'Reilly, or Bill Slotz Bennett, or George Scarborough. Suppose any of those guys getting a check? All my right-wing friends, what do you think? Are they getting paid? How do you know? From now on, from this moment on, every time you turn in to one of your right-wing pundit friends on the radio, on TV, the newspaper, how do you know they don't have a Republican check in their back pocket? Huh? You know, now we no longer have to wonder about it. It's finally become common knowledge that they're actively seeking to have complete control of the media no matter what it takes. And believe me, paying a guy like Armstrong Williams to be the Joseph Goebbels of the Bush regime is just plain offensive, and from what I hear, probably illegal as well. But how many Bush regime Joseph Goebbels are there? That's the question this week. Anyone know? If you're a Bush fan, doesn't this upset you a little bit, knowing that the president is paying people to manipulate you with propaganda? Making you think that Armstrong Williams and God only knows how many other Bush propagandists are using Hitler-like methods to brainwash you? What does that say about what they think of you? Huh? They think you're a bunch of idiots. They do. They think you're a bunch of idiots who will allow propagandists to form your opinions for you. And you know what? In many cases, I think they know you pretty doggone well. You know, never again will the listening and viewing public be able to trust a damn thing they hear from all those right-wing media players. But some of you will. Some of you lap it up just like the Bush regime planned. They know how you used it. You used to like yesterday's dirty laundry. But it's okay, isn't it? It's okay because they can do no wrong because Junior Bush is a good, moral, upstanding Christian. He goes to church and he prays, and in your eyes that makes him incapable of doing anything wrong. You know, in my opinion, the Bushes have committed many, many errors in their 4 years. Their actions before and after 9/11 have been filled with missteps. The lies about invading Iraq, the prosecution of the war, that Alberto Gonzalez memo okaying tortures of prisoners, the Abu Ghraib debacle. You know, it's been one huge embarrassment mistake after another. But in my estimation, this one has to be the dumbest one they pulled yet. How could they have been so stupid as to get caught paying propagandists? How could they have believed that they could get away with this forever? But you know, really, when I stop and think about it, what really bothers me is that it's possible that they just didn't care if they got caught. Maybe now that they've got a second term all locked up and they think they can steamroll the rest of us and do anything they damn well please, they really think they can. And if that's not a perfect example of it, I don't know what is. Can you say vast right-wing conspiracy, Hillary? You have been vindicated. It's true. We finally have the concrete evidence in our little hands. There is a vast right-wing conspiracy. There has been a vast right-wing conspiracy all along. Hillary knew it. Inside, all of us knew it. But here we have... I tell you what, when I first read this about Armstrong Williams, I said, nah, that's not true. That is not true. They wouldn't, but it is true. My God. Let's go to Dave in California. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Guy. Good to have you back, brother. I don't think mistake is the word. I find this crime family that occupies our White House to be so willful. I am one of the people that believes that they did just steal yet another election by so many dirty tricks. I know you even get callers that call in that have been programmed by these Armstrong Williams and hate folks. Yes, they all get paid, and I don't know How much do you have to pay a right-wing radio talk show host to sell his country down the river?
How much is your soul worth, Dave, I wonder?
Oh, well, you know, I wonder if, and incidentally, it's taxpayer money. That's,
yeah.
I feel that that's fair usage of it, I suppose. Now targeting Social Security. This, I guess we're going to have to live with it now. The other day was probably the last chance that they might have had enough members of Congress to stand up and say, no, we're not going to be a part of this fraud, because you're not completely convinced of it, are you? I'm one who had recommended that you get a hold of a fellow named Clint Curtis. He was the fellow retained to design the riggable voting machines for them. Did you ever do it?
No. I'll tell you why. I suppose I'd have been a decent prosecutor. I have to have irrefutable concrete proof, and I don't think anybody's got it yet. I really don't. Now, that doesn't mean I don't think they will find it or could find it or it's there, because I do. But I can't put myself on the air and be credible and not have right in the palm of my hand the irrefutable proof.
Well, what you've got is overwhelming circumstantial evidence.
Oh, absolutely.
Why did hazard and delay prevent making these machines verifiable? Because a lot of congressmen signed on to do just that, to require that every one of them have a paper trail. And it didn't happen. They blocked it. They wouldn't let it come to the floor. In fact, I think Hassett said that bill will never reach for a vote. And so we're stuck with these machines, riggable as they are. And this Clint Curtis, very credible fellow. He worked for the company that was approached and retained by now Congressman, I'll say his name wrong, but wanting it designed so that they could rig it and that it would leave no record of what they had done, that it would be untraceable. And he designed it for them, and they paid him for it and took it.
Was he involved with, was it Feeney?
No, there was then a company called Wang.
Yeah, but I was thinking there was a congressman involved, too.
Feeney, yes,
yeah.
Tom Feeney. That's
yeah.
Right. Tom Feeney was then, I think, the Speaker of the Florida State Assembly. He was running with Jeb Bush for the governorship when he went to retain this Clint Curtis. But I so love your program, though. I missed you the 2 weeks you've been gone.
Well, we took a Christmas and New Year's, and of course we moved in the meantime. A lot of you may not know this, but we didn't move very far because I'm sitting in the same chair I always sat in.
Oh.
There are 7 radio stations, I believe, here in this building, and 1 or 2 TV stations. Maybe how many biz? 9 or 10? A lot. 9 radio stations here in this building and 1 TV station. So it's a very elaborate facility, very fine facility, I might add. And we just moved. Just switched a couple of buttons and went on a couple of different stations. Hey, Dave, thanks for your call.
Thank you so much for being there, guy.
Thank you. Hey, we got to go. I wish I had some of that fancy music. The New York Bureau, ladies and gentlemen, reporting in. Hiya, Jeff.
Good evening, guy.
Good to hear from you, my friend.
Congratulations on your time shift, I hope.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
I said I wanted to get in on the Armstrong-Williams, but you've covered most of it. I think the most significant thing for us is to go, wait a minute, is anyone naive enough to think that they only paid one?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's, you know they're cockroaches, man. They're everywhere. You better believe there's a bunch of them. All we got to do is find out who the rest of them are now.
And some of the, it's like, I don't know if you caught Williams squirming around on the cable stations yesterday.
Oh yeah.
But it's like, and he even on his own website put up a thing: should the government have paid Armstrong to say these things? And I wrote that there was a thread on Democratic Underground. I said, wrong question. It's like, should I have accepted this money to propagandize for the White House? But it doesn't matter, because even on his own website, it was overwhelmingly negative for him.
I wanted to do it because it's something I believe in.
Yeah, now here's a funny thing. When he was doing this, the law was already passed. He wasn't helping public opinion to support passage of the law.
There you go. You've hit on it, man.
It was already done.
That's
and the other thing, if he really believed in it, why did he have to be paid?
That's right. That's right. You've... You've come to the entire crux of the matter. It was already done, and Mr. Goebbels had to do his duty.
It's pretty transparent, and I really, will that fierce, you know, so-called left-wing media launch on this and start sending out those Freedom of Information Act requests to see who else was on the payroll? Because I am much more interested to see who was on the payroll to support the White House's WMDs, Saddam is a terrorist crap that led this country by the nose into this debacle in Iraq.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I don't care. I mean, look, the tsunami is an unparalleled natural disaster, but it's sadly providing cover while the Iraq situation continues to deteriorate. How many people caught between the latest tourist video of the wave hitting that we lost 9 more people on Thursday?
Sure, absolutely. You're right.
And today, in a rare show of candor, the U.S. government admitted that they bombed the wrong house and killed 5 Iraqis. The Iraqis say 14.
Well, you know, these things happen in war.
But here's the thing. Here's the CNN spin they put on it. When I heard the report of this bombing in Mosul, they said that they were possibly innocent Iraqis.
Oh,
possibly innocent Iraqis. Don't worry about it.
Is that the way we do that in this country? Possibly innocent?
Possibly innocent Iraqis.
Yeah. That's part of that being free and democracy deal that they're getting over there.
Well, whatever.
These people have so much dirt in their hands that it's astonishing. You know, Jeff. Every time I think back to November 2nd, I think I'm living a nightmare. This couldn't be. This couldn't have happened with all this filth that goes on in this administration that this man got elected. I just can't.
Well, they just used more filth.
Yeah.
You know?
In your face.
And they are just better at being filthy.
They are. They're good.
You can't argue that point. I mean, they sold all these evangelicals that they sold a line to, vote for us and we'll keep you safe from terror and we'll take care of those fags.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly what they preached. You know, and I read where where Armstrong Williams was out recruiting other black media people to go along with him on this thing. You know, the question I have about it, if he's trying to explain this away as something he believed in, if it's something he believed in, what would they have to give him $240,000 for?
Well, that's the hypocrisy. If he believed in it, he would have already been doing it, and the White House would have, you know, maybe, you know, thanked him. They wouldn't have paid him $250,000 taxpayer dollars. That's the other thing that is at the top of this story, and it has to stay in it. It's not like the Bush campaign or the Republicans paid him $250,000. We paid him $250,000 to propagandize to us.
We's the word, and you know, nothing helps a person's ability to believe in something better than the good old cold hard cash.
I mean, it's like one of the only rays of hope for finally getting rid of these people is that their hubris will finally just hit critical mass, and people will go, oh no, I've had enough. And you would think that, to switch off to Boxer and the whole event on Thursday, you would think the disgusting lies that were and the sneering and the smirking of the Republicans on the House and Senate floor over let's look at voting in America seriously. It's like my head was exploding. I had to keep muting it.
When Tom DeLay, I'm going to play that clip from Tom DeLay, if you can stand to hear it. I'm going to play some of his again.
I may take a potty break.
and with all this thing with Armstrong Williams and all this filth, you wonder how many other members of the media have been bought. How much did they pay Judith Miller to help them sell the war in Iraq? And how much did they pay Robert Novak to sell out Valerie Plame? The list is endless, and, you know, it's going to be hard for them to deny it now.
Well, bravo to that reporter from USA Today that found this contract. And you know that there's a, that there are people scrambling for a scoop that size. Right.
Oh yeah, and you know there was a day back in my day when I was a teenager, they called this payola.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what it was.
And I say from all that I can garner from the reports, it's illegal. Not that I think Roberto Gonzalez is going to, you know, care much about it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
well,
unless he gets to stand arms long way in my box and attach electrodes to him.
Well, I'm sorry, folks. I hate to put it this way, but the guy's an Uncle Tom. There's just no way around it. He's sold out everybody. He's a media whore. Put his picture beside that in the dictionary.
You know, even one of the CNN news directors was on NPR and called Williams a whore three times in no uncertain terms. I don't know if it's official yet, but he's not going to be on CNN anymore. He's lost his Tribune column syndication. I think you're going to see Armstrong Williams, you know, and the next thing he might do is run for the Senate against Obama for re-election.
Well, you know, he admitted it was wrong. But it certainly wasn't wrong enough to give the money back, now, was it?
No.
You want to know the truth? All my right-wing friends listening, if there are any tonight, I was jumping for joy when I read this because I thought that at last, here it is. We've suspected it now. Here it is. Well, Armstrong Williams. Well, when Blair had his little dust up there in New York and went out of town, well, he didn't really leave town, but when he had the plagiarism charge against him, so it was Armstrong Williams who rubbed his face in the mud as much as anybody could, and here comes Armstrong Williams now with as great an ethics violation as I have ever seen in the media. He's a bad boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you take care. Have a great rest of the show. I will go back to listening mode, and if I recall correctly, you're still listener supported, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. We are.
Get to that website.
Keep those cards and letters coming. Hey, thank you, Jeff. Good to hear from you.
Okay, guy. Good night.
We're going to go up to Nashville, Tennessee. John, are you with us?
Yeah, guy. How are you this evening?
Pretty doggone good. How about yourself?
Very well. Happy New Year.
Same to you, sir, and a prosperous one as well, if that's possible in this current climate.
Well, we can only hope, but I was wondering if you could confirm a rumor for me that the Mustang Ranch out in Nevada, whenever they get a new crop of girls, they take them through orientation and Armstrong Williams is the keynote speaker.
You're killing me, John. You're killing me. That's a good one. I love it.
Well,
I can't think of anybody more qualified for the job than Armstrong Williams.
Yeah, I'm sorry I didn't get to listen to your whole show. I don't know if you had mentioned it, but I want to commend Staples for what they did this weekend, pulling their advertising from Sinclair Broadcasting because of the right-wing slant of the newscasting, and also fudging the line between news and commentary, and they felt that no longer comfortable about advertising on that network.
I buy all and have for some time now all of my office supplies at Staples, my CD, disc, everything.
Oh, yeah, well, they're certainly, I think they should rate high on everybody's to-do list when they need something that they sell. Also, there was something that happened over the holidays. As soon as I heard this on the radio, I thought, first chance I get after the new year, I got to tell Guy James this. I think one of the things about more the more dangerous and extreme elements of the neoconservatives, I don't know if it's a symptom of their dangerousness or it's what makes them dangerous, but they don't seem to have any sense of irony about the things that they do and the things that they say. And of course, G. Gordon Liddy, we know from testimony back in the 70s, has, I'll be kind, issues, psychological issues, emotional issues, and I don't think...
You're trying to say he's nuts?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think the years have really improved that situation. But he was on his show one night, and he was, of course, reading from the holiday season talking points that the White House had put out about how Christians are made to feel as though they can't celebrate Christmas. He's going through that whole thing that, you know, I'm sure you heard a million times from all these different people. goes through that whole thing, and I swear to you, I am not making this up, without taking a breath, launches right into a promotion of his stacked and packed holiday calendar. The one with the scantily clad women holding automatic weapons.
Oh, the guy's. You know what's worse? You know what's worse, John? You can imagine him doing that, but what about his audience? You know, they're sitting out there, got those guns in their laps, and you know, the stack. He had a cruise last year where he booked a cruise ship, and he got the G. Gordon Liddy people going to cruise. My God, I can't imagine have been on a cruise. Everybody was wearing fatigues, I suppose, and were well armed. I don't know.
Well, it was one of those things that this is just a perfect example. I mean, there are less blatant examples every day. For instance, of course, we know what Sean Hannity and others did about all of the things that happened with the scandals at the New York Times and with the whole CBS memo in the story that Dan Rather retracted, and how they just jumped on that as evidence of how the media is manipulated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And how are they going to speak to this? Well, the clear answer is they're not going to speak to this. They're going to pretend it doesn't exist. Or if there's a possible way to spin it so that it's somehow a plot, maybe. But other than that,
well, you know, the White House spokesman, that what's his name, Trent Duffy, he said he couldn't comment because the White House isn't involved in department contracts. Like, oh gee, we didn't know anything about this. Yeah, right.
Yeah, here it is, the very institution established by Article 2 of the Constitution. A president's supposed to serve the people, and yet the White House can't speak publicly on a topic that is of intense public interest. It's wonderful how a public institution all of a sudden starts circling the wagons and becomes very private in situations like this.
Oh, they're good at it too, aren't they? They're very
yes,
good.
Indeed.
And they've circled them many, many times, but no one's cracked it yet. But we will. We're going to keep after it.
Well, I appreciate you taking my call, and I'll jump off so that others can get in. But once again, Happy New Year, and we'll keep listening here in Nashville.
Thank you, John, from Music City.
Oh, my
good
pleasure.
To hear from you. Hey, we're coming up on the top of the hour right now. We're going to pause for news, are we not? Yes, we're not. Biz is looking at me funny. I have 829, 54, 55. No, we're going to, okay, we're going, I'm sorry. We're going to pause at the bottom of the hour for a break. So I'll get this right sooner or later. Yeah. Hey, Biz, let's go ahead and take a break at the bottom of the hour and get all that out of the way, and we'll be right back with you.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wink WNOG.
Hey, Kenny, open up. I know you're in there, yo, man. Yo, Kenny, we got school. Kenny, come on. Don't make me break down this door. I'm not lending you money when you're 50. All right? That's it. Come on, y'all.
Who do we want?
Kenny!
Whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. A real friend can make all the difference.
Stop shouting already. What do you think you're doing?
Helping you, that's what.
For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
When it's hot out, I want to jump right into the water. But my mommy has rules about the pool. My mommy says being safe means never, ever go near the water without an adult. Never climb a fence or open a gate that's around a pool. And learn how to swim, because swimming's fun. How did my mommy get so smart? The National Spa and Pool Institute sent her a free brochure about water safety. Your mommy can be smart, too. Call 1-800-323-3996 for a free brochure today.
A fresh new way to start the day. Daybreak with Dave Elliott.
Parents going on strike. And then there, that brings up the whole idea of kids divorcing their parents. I don't know if you've heard about this. You have kids who are actually going to court and getting divorces from their parents. Weird, huh? Happy holidays. We're gonna Happy holidays, Mom. I want the chair. I want the TV, the computer, half the food. And by the way, will you still do my laundry when I move out?
Daybreak with Dave Elliott. Weekday mornings on Wing WNOG. And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
Oh, I love the comments we get on from email and Democratic Underground. Someone sent me a note and said, hey, cut Armstrong Williams some slack. After all, he was a former aide to U.S. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas. And that ought to count for something against him. I guess that would kind of leave you out in left field someplace, being an aide to Clarence. Coke Can Thomas there, I think. Well, I'm not going to go into it, but you remember about Clarence Thomas and the Coke Can, don't you? Some of you PMI people... my age, you do remember the Coke can and the... Okay. Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah. Secondly, you know, Armstrong Williams, he probably doesn't have any friends. He's probably all alone. Chances are he's just like his former boss, Clarence Thomas. And if he'd hung out with Clarence Thomas, he couldn't be any shining example of ethics now, could he? 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540. Let's say that one more time. 479-5540 here in Lee County. 263-6570 in Collier County. And you can get your voice right on the Guy James Show and here in Lee and Collier County and all around the world for that matter. Let's go to John in Cape Coral. Hi, John.
Well, good evening. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. Same to you.
And it's good to hear you back on the air.
Well, we're glad to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you, even at these strange times. And I think you're going to get a good audience at these strange times.
I hope so.
I tell you, I'm kind of disturbed about something, and I thought I'd voice it to you and get a reaction again. And I've voiced some of this before, so if I'm repetitive, please, I'll apologize before I start. But I'm still very upset about something. I heard our president, our esteemed president, George W. Bush, on the radio, say to everybody in America, it is time to sacrifice and to help the victims of the tsunami. Did you hear that?
Yes. Yes. Time to sacrifice.
Okay. I also know that...
Hey, John, we're in for a buck apiece right now.
Well, I'm asking you, want to continue if I can, yeah. A minute, and if I'm off base, stop me. But
sure.
Let me get this off my chest. We also lost 9 more soldiers the other day in Iraq, so we're losing people daily. I don't know what the number is totally that we've lost. Do you?
No. It's up close to 1,400 now.
Why is it a secret?
It's, do you know what it is, John? You know what it is, because very few people give a damn.
Well, when we're losing people, we're being asked to sacrifice. Why then are our esteemed leadership spending $50 million partying luxuriously with all the luxuries that you and I couldn't even think of for this inauguration?
Well, John, I think the key there is in what he said. I don't know that he said we sacrifice. I thought he said you sacrifice. He has to have that inauguration. There's no way out of that. That's nothing but a political payoff to the many people that filled his pockets with money.
So the sacrifice starts where?
Well, it starts once you get outside of Washington. I mean, there's no sacrifice in Washington. My God, nobody's in Washington going to sacrifice anything.
Well, then let me ask another question, because I think I'm getting more and more foolish as I go on, and you need to stop me. But isn't he supposed to be a leader?
Well, there was a time when the occupant of the White House was a leader.
Aren't they supposed to set an example?
one would hope.
Where am I going astray?
John, the country has gone nuts. I mean, I think that's what it is. The country has gone out of their flipping mind because to elect a guy like this and have him be the leader of the free world, there's something serious wrong with America.
But, you know, he's supposed to be a good Christian, talking about sacrifice, talking about we need to give, talking about we're in a time of war, and we're losing American soldiers daily. By the way, which seems to be on the back burner because everybody only talks about tsunamis. And yet we go on with obscene, luxurious parties. And in my mind, it's obscene. And I'd like somebody to show me where it isn't.
You know, John, and you're so right. Not just now. Any time there's a second term for a president, I don't see the need for this gaudy presentation we put on in Washington, D.C. I think your first time around, maybe you can do that. Second time around, I think a quiet dinner in the White House would be enough. But
especially when you have you have the situations we have in this world today.
Oh, there are people suffering all over the world, and it's an obscenity. There's no question about it. No question.
I mean, these are people who are supposed to be setting example. I mean, if you lead, a good leader sets an example. What's the example that's being set for the electorate?
Well, you know the other example he set this week. You know the right-wingers have all been... here we had these Hollywood people put a lot of money into the tsunami coffers, lots of money. One of them gave $1 million, as I recall. But lots of Hollywood types have been donating tons of money. And the right-wingers have just been, disparaging people something terrible for making it public. They thought it was terrible that it was public figure. But when Bush gave $10,000 himself, why, that was big news.
They're so two-faced. Seems to be.
They're so two-faced.
And I understand Bush has got plenty of money in his coffers personally.
His family has more money he'll ever be able to spend.
I mean, especially from the oil monies. So,
sure.
I mean, he could afford a lot more than that. And a couple other questions, if I can really joggle you a little bit, since you haven't thrown me off the air yet. He selected, and I have to tell you, I was in a classroom talking to a group of seventh graders, and one of them raised an interesting question, and I couldn't give a good answer to it. This was right here in Cape Coral, Florida, this week. Question was, if we have our presidents, and he selected Bush and senior Bush and Clinton to lead this whole effort to raise money for the tsunamis. Why didn't he include Mr. Carter?
Good question. Excellent question. Why not? I'd love to know the answer to that. I honestly don't know.
I didn't either. I couldn't answer the kids either. I said it was a good question. I couldn't give a good answer. But here's the man was right here in Cape Coral at the time, by the way.
Yeah.
Who has, you know, talked about humanitarianism all throughout his presidency and afterwards.
And lived it.
And would be a natural for this. Why wasn't he selected?
Well, you know, we asked the question a few weeks ago on the show when they were talking about, a lot of the right-wingers were calling in talking about how morals had so much to do with electing the president. We asked them why they didn't vote for Jimmy Carter then, because there hadn't been a more moral guy than Jimmy Carter in the White House. But, you know, you're right. That is curious to me. I'd love to know the answer. I'm going to have to do some research on why Jimmy Carter wasn't involved in this fundraising deal.
And again, you talk about morals. My question is it moral to have this type of a party when you're soldiers are fighting and dying and sacrificing lives in a war in Iraq? One of the points that was made, and I think somebody made it very well, when we had the situation, Carter didn't have parties. Why this party?
Well, they got to pay people back, John. They got to pay them back.
What is the message there?
Well,
I hate to raise these questions on your show, but I think these things are deserving of answers. And I think people ought to look, and if they're talking about morality, I think morality has to start at the top. And maybe I'm old-fashioned, but I think if you really believe something, you live it. And you can't be two-faced and speak one way and act another way. And that was my purpose of the phone call.
Well, John, thank you. And someone just sent me a note that the official death total now is 1504. So I was remiss in saying it was around 14. It was 1504.
1504.
As maybe more as we speak.
And we're still partying.
That's right.
And maybe I'm the only one out there who thinks this wrong. But if other people do, I wish I would say so, because I think there should be a hue and cry in this country and say, hey, you have no right to party when you're leading our young people, and some of them are not so young, by the way, as I understand it, leading these people into their deaths for your war.
You're absolutely right. I'm with you on that, John. Thanks for your
call. Thank you for the time, and thanks for being back for us.
Thank you. You know, he's absolutely right. They ought to set up a great big, one of those great big drive-in movie screens at every American military base in Iraq. Every one of them. Make all the soldiers go down there and watch these inauguration parties of the champagne and the caviar and everybody in their tuxedos and the swill that goes on while they're doing it, and all the fat cats that slipped $250,000 in there to attend the party, and $100,000 here and $100,000 there, and all the women in their mink coats and dripping in diamonds in the Republican Party. They ought to show that to the soldiers. Then tell me how well the soldiers feel about what's going on over there right now. You know, John had an excellent point. John had a very excellent point. John in Fort Myers, welcome.
Well, good evening. Nice to hear you on the air again after a little vacation.
Yeah, thanks. We're glad to be back.
Well, I want John to calm down. I want him to kind of shut his eyes right now, and I want him to imagine a pack of dogs. Now, I don't want to become too graphic, but when I see a pack of dogs, and that's what I think these parties are up there, they can associate them with just a pack of dogs. And then those dogs in packs do an awful lot of sniffing. You know what I mean?
Oh, they do.
Absolutely. Well, you know, the Texas school in Dallas that was touted when President Bush was governor, that was touted to be such a fantastic, great school.
Mr. Page's, under Mr. Page's tutelage, right?
Yes, and you probably heard that it was all phony baloney. They gave the kids the answers to the test questions.
Yeah.
And so here we are, and I read in Mother Jones, I think the October issue, about the teaching of abstinence in the schools. And Texas ranks with Mississippi at the very bottom, with more kids or young women, 15 to 18, that are pregnant because they're teaching this abstinence. So that just shows you how well that is working.
Oh, tremendously working. And their divorce rate's among the highest in the nation as well.
Well, and, you know, it's just amazing to me. I used to travel around the country, and I know a lot of people. Met some of these people in Washington. I asked one guy, you know, what he did, and I do a lot of things. And I said, well, are you a Democrat or Republican? And he couldn't answer the question. It turns out he works for anybody that comes into power up there. It doesn't care to him. So this is the kind of people you got going. And then, of course, I met a lady who's an interior decorator. And this is when they were making such a noise about President Clinton. And she said, you would be surprised at how many apartments I decorate for these senators and congressmen and their girlfriend. And then she says, I'm invited to a lot of these parties they have up here. And she said, you'll see the senator and his wife on one side of the room and his girlfriend on the other. So this is what we've got representing our country. And you know, John referred to having a leader. I've read the Constitution. It doesn't say anything about a leader in there, but it says an awful lot about people who are going to represent us. And the president isn't a leader, obviously, and he's supposed to represent us, and he doesn't. So he's in violation of the Constitution right there.
Well, he hasn't represented us. He hadn't represented the wishes and thoughts of this country practically since the day he got took office.
And what the hell does he know about Social Security or how to fix it? And what they need to do to fix it is take off all the things they added since Bob Dole and Patrick Moynihan did fix it 15 or so years ago. Take all those things they added and tacked onto it since then out of there. Quit giving it to these illegals who come across the border in Mexico and other areas. And I think Social Security would probably be in pretty good shape.
Well, I read the other day, I think it was Paul Krugman, that said that it's absolutely solvent until the year, what was it, 2047, and I was thinking to myself, you know, any government program that's guaranteed solvent for another 43 years, that's not a bad doggone program.
Well, this is a scare tactic that Bush is using, and, you know, he's borrowing a lot of money from that fund right now to pay for the war. And I heard a report the other day that the fund is very solvent. It's got a lot of money in there, but it's being reduced each day by the president taking money out of there to pay for the war, because the war is an off-budget item. They've got to go borrow money from somewhere to do this thing. I was quite disturbed that he was dedicating the Clinton Library. I am also disturbed that he asked Bill Clinton to fundraise along with his father. And when I saw that announcement being made, I looked at his father's face and Bill Clinton's face, and they don't look like happy campers. I think Bill Clinton is a better gentleman than I am. I would have declined. But, you know, they're trying to help this guy who's performance ratings are below 50%. I don't know exactly where those are right now, but it's about 45%, I would imagine.
It's 49, depending where you look, 49 to 52, anywhere in there.
Yeah, and of course, I've noticed with these guys that they never have their, you know, you can't pin anything on them. It's always somebody else did it, like Armstrong Williams.
Yeah.
Through his company, and the government contracted his company, and of course Bush didn't know about this, and
no.
Nobody in the Republican Party knew about
no.
it, and all this kind of thing.
Pure as the driven snow.
Mm-hmm. And I listened to, and I forget the guy that publishes Hustler magazine.
Larry Flint.
Larry Flint was on an interview several years ago, probably, and the show that he was on was an evening show, and it's probably off the air on these frequencies locally, but he was talking about the investigation they were doing about the girlfriend Bush had that he got an abortion for.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
And he's written this book to tell what they went through on this investigation, because that way he won't get sued. But apparently they tracked this lady down in Texas, and they talked to her and, you know, made arrangements to go down, photograph, interview her completely, and so forth. And, of course, when they get down to Texas, they can't find her because friends of somebody, assume the president, had bought this lady a $500,000 house, and she's a $13,000 a year waitress.
Well, you know, if you manage your money right.
Yeah. So, of course, like with Reagan, the friends of his bought him a house out in California. And, of course, after you get a $500,000 house, you're not going to go talking to Larry Flint.
No.
So, you know.
Just like if you're George Tenet and you got a brand-new medal hanging around your neck, you're not going to say much either.
Yeah, well, those awards don't mean much anymore, do they?
No.
And one last item. You know, we've got this tsunami, and it is a terrible, tragic thing. And, of course, I heard Limbaugh talking one day, and I don't listen to Limbaugh very often, and I just happened to get in on maybe 10 minutes while I was in the car. The radio was there. I turned it on, and I thought, well, let me hear what he's got to say. I don't listen to the guy much. He was ranting and raving about how these donations that are going to be sent over there is just a transfer of the wealth.
Yep.
And the next day, of course, he was praising all this stuff. One day I happened to hear him a few weeks ago where he was talking about our wounded men coming back and the treatment they're getting in the hospitals and so forth, and apparently he's upset that people are complaining about the treatment they're getting, and he said, these guys shouldn't be complaining. After all, this is only going to change their life a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
I'd like to see him without a couple arms and a leg, or maybe both legs and both arms, and see how much he feels it's changed his life. And then these guys have to pay for their own meals. They're not given really the best care they could possibly get, and many of them are shortchanged, and we're not hearing about it no more than we see those bodies coming back or hear that 1,500 plus have been killed.
Well, you know, you're so right, and they have not accepted responsibility for one thing. If you ask the White House right now, well, you remember in that debate a while back when they asked Bush, "What have you made any mistakes?" and he sat there with that blank look on his face.
Oh, yeah.
Just not willing, maybe not able to admit that they've made any mistakes, and God knows they've made plenty.
And, of course, with these tsunamis, I've seen nothing but coverage on the evening news on all three networks constantly, every nightly newscast. And I do recall when we had the hurricanes here, After the first few days, we were getting about 60 seconds of coverage, and then the next week it ended. And I know that's a very devastating thing over there, but these hurricanes were devastating here. And for our national media to give more coverage or not give equal coverage to our hurricane victims here is just ridiculous. And then, of course, my wife informed me tonight that Australia and Canada did send aid here, which we never heard about on our media.
No, I didn't hear that.
And I'd really like to find out more about that, but I don't know where to go to find that.
Well, maybe we will. Hey, John, thanks for your call.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Thanks for calling the program. Let's. We got a couple of minutes till the top of the hour. Let's go to Diana in North Fort Myers. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Guy. So glad to hear you on there.
Well, thanks for calling.
I missed you. But no, I was calling because, well, for one thing, I want to hit on what the gentleman on there was just saying about on the hurricanes. We've got Jeb Bush over there now because he's Georgie's brother and putting on the big show. He hasn't even finished the job here in this area on the hurricanes. I'd like to know where the $2 billion went.
I'd like to know why Jeb Bush isn't here overseeing why these insurance companies haven't paid off the way they were supposed to.
We still have people homeless.
You bet.
We still have debris laying in a lot of places yet, you know, that's never even been cleaned up yet. Where'd the $2 billion go?
Well, Diana,
I would like
you
to see him be accountable.
You know as well as I do exactly why he's over there right now.
I would much rather see people being fed out of our tax dollars than bombed for no reason. You know, and with that, with Clinton, I'm angry at him. I'm not going to just cover it over and smooth it over. He really angered me with George H. And it all goes down to what I've said before, check into Skull and Bones, the Hellfire Club.
Well, you know, this hurricane business, there's a lot to be done yet. And the insurance companies, in many cases, got away with just absolute murder here.
It's
in Florida.
Disgusting.
And so they send the Jebster over there to take a look at the tsunami.
Yeah, someone that can't even handle it here in his own.
Yeah, and put him off as some kind of an expert on tragedy. But we all know why he's here. This is the opening salvo of his political campaign for presidential.
Exactly right. What else can he go on?
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and let's face it, it's his for the asking.
That's right. Yep, Guy, you're right.
He's already said he's not going to take it, which absolutely means he will.
Hey, you keep getting the truth out, brother.
We will.
We depend on you.
Thanks for calling, Diana.
Bye, God.
Good to hear from you. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. You know, I heard Bush the other day speaking. I heard him speak again, and it's always a monumental occasion when he does. And once again, the pain I felt listening to his tortured phrases was just about unbearable. You know, you wince when you hear the guy speak, and I thought, thank God I don't have to listen to him very often. But then a sobering thought occurred to me, and I became a little more worried than ever about four more years, folks. We're only halfway through it. Four more years of this man occupying the most important position in the world. Think about that. Think of the hell this country has been through in the last 4 years. Much of the fault lays right at the feet of George W. Bush. And when the rest of the world gets his news, it's coverage of what Bush has had to say. Because when the president speaks, people listen. And having this guy as our spokesman, really, to me, is akin to having Pee Wee Herman as a spokesman for the Wall Street Journal. I mean, it's just how absurd it really is. And think about what the rest of the world must think about us when they hear our number one spokesman talking. You know, I think I might have mentioned the dismay I experienced a while back when I spoke about Bush to a table full of people from other countries when I was in Washington. You know, I guess I didn't expect them to be so forthcoming with their comments. And when they did, they really blew me away. All of them. I mean, every last one of them said that after the 2000 election, they didn't blame the American people for our many mistakes because they knew we didn't really elect Bush. But now they said, now the majority of the voters chose this guy, and Americans are responsible for his actions. He's our guy, and we are accountable for his policies. That's exactly the way they feel now. You know, and think about it. When the tsunami hit, Bush was on vacation. Of course, the chances that he's on vacation when most everything happens, because if this guy knows one thing, it's how to take plenty of vacations. But here we have a tragedy of absolute epic proportion, and he's out riding his bike. Couldn't be bothered until later on, a couple of days later, when he came forward and absolutely embarrassed all of us by pledging $15 million to the crisis. $15 million and an AOL poll. Here's the sad part about it. I was looking up an AOL poll. Showed that 72% of those answering said it was enough, which only proved to me that Junior Bush and his gang have really succeeded in dragging the American public down with him. Dragging this great country down so that we're now a country with a morality which states that flipping a nickel apiece, that's right, $15 million divided by $200 million is roughly a nickel apiece. Americans think that's enough to give toward the worst natural disaster in recorded history. Is that what we've sunk to? Has Bush dragged us down that far? You know, I really weep for America, my America, when I hear things like that. This once proud, gracious, generous nation has now been reduced to a country who looks out only for herself and to hell with everybody else. Remember, please do remember, that these are supposedly good Christians we're talking about here. And I know that Jesus spent a lot of time working for the poor and making sure their needs were met and educating the rest of the population about charity and generosity. But these Christians running the show right now are a greedy bunch, almost blind, nearly blind to the needs of anyone else other than themselves. You know, right now my prayer is for these next 4 years to pass as quickly and as painlessly as possible for our great nation, so we can start over and put the U.S. back in her rightful place as the good and decent leader of the world. What we used to be before this ne'er-do-well group in Washington in power right now has, well, there's no other way to say it, totally besmirched the reputation of this United States and the world community. I don't know. I don't know how you feel about it. I do hope you'll give me a call. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, 7504, 479-5540 here in Lee County and 263-6570 in Collier County. We're going to talk in the next hour. Oh, no, hey, by the way, let me do remind you, we didn't have a guest scheduled this week. I didn't want to, but next week we're going to have a man that many of you know, Mr. Dr. John Sperling. A man who founded and is CEO of the Phoenix University. Huge private university, mostly on the internet. They do have some campus facilities as well. He's an outspoken proponent against the war on drugs. He is very much the environmentalist. He's a man who puts his money where his mouth is as well. And we're going to look forward to having him on the program next week, so do look forward to that. I don't know what time for sure, but we'll let you know as soon as we can. So right now we really are going to pause for the news at the top of the hour. You're listening to WNOG and WINK, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, and we'll be back right after the news.
The Guy James Show.
Epstein released a 500-pound bomb in an airstrike supporting U.S. troops in Mosul, Iraq. The bomb hit a house.
A GPS-guided bomb is one guided by the Global Positioning System, and the investigation is looking into how that dropped onto the wrong location.
U.S. command claims 5 civilians were killed. The owner of the house says 14 people died in Mosul. Tracy Perkins says what he did was wrong, forced 2 Iraqis into the Tigris River about a year ago. The Army sergeant was convicted of assault. One of those Iraqis may have drowned in the river, though defense attorneys say that's not the case. Now at Fort Hood, Texas, a 6-member military jury has sentenced Sergeant Perkins to 6 months in prison and a demotion in rank. Tsunami aftermath. James Morris, the head of the World Food Program, predicts
we're going to have to provide food in the region for at least 2 million people over the next 6 months.
I'm Robert Berger in Banda Aceh, Indonesia, in what was an upscale neighborhood but which is now in ruins. Luxury cars have been tossed into the trees and crushed, and there's an unusual memento here. It's the junior high school diploma of Mira Sarmanita. Her picture is still here, but she is gone.
Some gunfire heard around Banda Aceh today. Rebels apparently targeted a police chief's home. No one was hurt, but some UN relief workers are concerned that a tsunami-induced truce may be fading. A tough winter day even for a snowplow driver. That's up in California's San Bernardino Mountains. Drivers and up to 200 vehicles were stranded by heavy snow.
It's been a hassle. We had to dig ourselves out, dig the truck out, help other people dig their cars out.
And snow up to 4 feet were making a 15-mile stretch of highway impassable around Big Bear Dam and the Snow Valley Ski Resort. Interstate 80 connecting Sacramento and the Reno area, all closed. Amtrak trains going over the Sierra were delayed. Flooding's been the problem in the Midwest, with the Ohio River forcing residents to evacuate in West Virginia, Kentucky, and Indiana. Ohio as well, where 100,000 customers have no power. No NFL team that finished at 500 had ever won a playoff game until today. St. Louis beat Seattle in the wild card game 27-20. It was the third time the teams had met this season. Rams quarterback Mark Bulger happy that St. Louis came out on top every time, including both games in Seattle.
Come in here and, you know, win two times in 1 year is, you know, quite a feat, and it came down to the last play.
Seattle was knocking on the door trying to tie that game when time expired. The other wild card action early in the second quarter, San Diego leading the New York Jets 7-0. This is CBS News.
This is your 30-second Vanguard insight about a blind spot.
Now, when you talk cross, it's hard to talk about the all-new Nissan Titan without using words like powerful, beautiful, comfortable, rugged, tough, sturdy, and that's why every day people pay $25K to $30K. Sutherland Nissan in 2004 sold more new Nissans than ever before. We're going to get bigger in 2005 because at Sutherland you can drive home your big bed bodacious V8 Titan King Cab XE. $18,988, are you kidding me? Loaded stereo CD, automatic and air, good truck stuff everywhere. $18,988, Naples, are you listening? Dennis, I'm talking to you. If there was ever a real steal-a-truck deal, this is it. You're all new, rock solid, loaded V8, Titan King Cab XE, $18,988. Waiting for you right now, smack dab in the middle of Fort Myers, on US 41 south of Bell Tower Shop, on Tamiami Trail. New Titan V8 King Cab XE, $18,988, at Sutherland Nissan today. Yippee-yi-yo-ki-yay.
Since 592-219 and 592-615, price after factory rebates and dealer discounts, plus government taxes, finance, dock, prep, and emission fees.
The following is a paid commercial announcement. The views and opinions expressed and the advice offered by the host are not necessarily those of Wink WNOG, Fort Myers Broadcasting, Meridian Broadcasting, or any of their affiliate sponsors or assigns.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
Now the world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. And now, you've heard the right. All that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Well, hello. Here we are for the last 1 hour of the program tonight. The new Guy James Show on from 7 to 10 p.m. on Wink WNOG, 1240, 1270 a.m. here in beautiful Fort Myers in Naples, Florida. So glad to have you with us. This will be our new time and our new stations from now on. So welcome to all of you locally listening. Give us a call. Collier County, 263-6570. And in Lee County, 479-5540. I'm curious as to why no one has called to defend Armstrong Williams. I wonder why that is. Curious. And, of course, we are on the Internet as well, streaming the program live all around the world. Glad to hear from you. You know, we hear a lot about the compassionate conservatism. It's one of my favorite terms, compassionate conservatism. And, of course, no one represents the Republican Party and the conservatives any better than Mr. Rush Oxycontin Liveball. Right? I think we'd all agree that he is the leader. He is the national spokesman for the Republican Party. He is a man very responsible for electing a lot of Republicans. He is their pride and joy. And so, you know, when Rush Limbaugh speaks, people listen. And I happened to tune in to Mr. Limbaugh this week, and I heard him talking about the tsunami tragedy. Oh, yes, he was talking about it. And I would like to play you a little clip from his program where he was talking about the tsunami in his compassionate conservative mode, of course. And I will intersperse this with some, with some stories I have about the tsunami as well. So we'll hear from Mr. Limbaugh here for a moment, and then we'll hear from some stories out of the USA Today. Let's see if we can get this machine working here.
I have been suspicious of these numbers from the get-go. First day, 12,000, then 14,000, then 50, then 60, then 100, then 140. There was even a number 400,000 thrown around out there. Who's verifying this? I mean, has anybody actually asked for a count? Has anybody done a count? Has there been a count? How do we know this? And the reason I'm starting to question this is because I'm seeing more and more stories about how how do I put this? Yeah, I know I raised my hand. I wanted to be called on as insensitive, but
Mr. Limbaugh, the situation, according to USA Today, is so bleak. You hear, and I quote a journalist for the USA, you see a fellow journalist out in the street and you say, "Are you okay?" says CBS News correspondent Lee Cowan in Banda Aceh, Indonesia, where about 30,000 people died. He says there's a sort of helplessness. Sure, there's an aspect of getting a story out, but at times it's just unbearable. It's impossible not to feel for the people you're around. The whole notion of the impassive reporter coldly and detachedly talking about what he has seen is a false notion. I don't think it ever existed.
There are more and more stories here about, there's some guy that runs a hotel over there who said, "Would you please get the news out that we're open, that we've got full services, our beach is open and everything else. We didn't suffer at all in this disaster, and nobody's showing up here because they think the whole country has been devastated." And it hasn't. It was just the coastlines. We're open and we're open for business.
And so they go on to say, Mr. Limbaugh is the compassionate conservative gentleman. USA Today reporter Donna Leonwald in the Banda Aceh says, "I get teary-eyed. Remember, this is hardcore reporters. I get teary-eyed every time I look to the bulletin boards covered with flyers begging for word of missing family members. But I've also been impressed by the resiliency of people who are carrying on the best they can in very trying circumstances. You know, one body, 10 bodies, 1,000. At some point, it's death. What is most staggering is the scale of the destruction and the fact that a natural disaster could impact so many people across such a broad area. Mr. Compassionate Limbaugh, have you seen, Mr. Limbaugh, the pictures of the harbors when the flotsam and the bodies all flowed in together, hundreds, thousands of bodies, the ocean from above, bodies flowing back into shore, so many of them in the water it looked like ants. So many, the bodies bloated with death." And you sat there and say, well, is this really happening?
Story so you don't see it in the news. The story is utter destruction and devastation. We had the story yesterday from the vaunted New York Times that the economic impact of this is going to be marginal.
So it's marginal. The economic, let's think about the economic impact. Let's forget about the human tragedy of it. Let's think about the money first, as any compassionate conservative always does. The money. It's the money. How will it suffer economically? How will the investors of the hotels, how will they make out? To hell with the people who died. You know, Mr. Limbaugh at times is, one of the most disgusting excerpts I've ever heard from him, and I've heard plenty from him. And of course, he's a man who, I have no respect for Rush Limbaugh. He was good at one time at what he does. He's a drug-crazed lunatic right now. And any man who can look at this story going on over there with this tsunami victim, with the way he's looked at it, is out of his mind. Absolutely out of his mind. He truly is a drug-crazed lunatic to look at this the way he has. So call us, 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. 479-5540. If If any of you here in Lee County would like to call in and defend the actions of Mr. Armstrong Williams, we'd certainly love to hear from you, because I'm sure some of you must have, some great reasons why Mr. Armstrong Williams would do what he did, don't you? I mean, surely you're not going to condemn what he did. I know you won't condemn him, so you don't condemn anything the people on the right do on their vast right-wing conspiracy. I know you don't. But so if you've got an excuse for Mr. Armstrong Williams and you can condone what he did and you can rationalize it in some way, please call us. I would love to hear from you. I really would. Let's get back to a little house cleaning here from the Democrats. You know, the war between the DLC, and I know many of you, especially the folks, my friends on the Internet, this war between the DLC and the mainstream Democrats really needs to stop right now before it goes any further. And in my humble opinion, the DLC will do, well, they'll do irreparable harm to the party if allowed to proceed with their plans of moving the party to the right. And that's their idea, to move it to the right, to the center. You know, and I can't see the value of abandoning the founding principles of the party just in order to get elected. What do we gain? So we abandon the environmentalists, we abandon the gay movement, the minorities, our pro-choice stance, our separation of church and state position, in order to fit in with the Republicans and sway some voters. What then? After we've abandoned the very foundation of the party, sold out to the highest bidders in the corporate world, where do we go from there? Where? You know, if we no longer stand as the party of the people, what is our worth as a party? And if we take back the White House, the House and the Senate, and we've given up everything we stand for, are we not any better than the political whores who own those three bodies right now? You know, long ago, the Republicans sold out to the corporate world, and they've guided the nation toward an ever-increasing presence of corporate government. No, really, let's call it what it is. It's fascism in its purest form, and I don't think there's any argument about that. You know, for no matter how much the other side runs from that name, no matter how much they deny it, it is absolutely undeniable that they have sold the country to the mega corporations for the benefit of a wealthy few while abandoning the working class altogether. You know, if you look at the actions of the Republican Party for the last 20 years, you will find practically nothing in their actions that works for the good of the common man. They're pushing the nation toward a situation that mirrors what our founding fathers found absolutely intolerable. We're being shoved and kicked toward a very similar set of conditions that caused our revolt against the ruling class from which we came. And after a couple of centuries, we find ourselves, once again, we're needing to overthrow those who would oppress and subjugate the common man for the enrichment of just a few. You know, I don't know about you, but I will not be a party to that kind of thinking within our party. You know, I believe Bill Clinton did a lot. He did a whole lot to help America. He wasn't right on all of his governmental actions, but by and large, the working class at least did regress the way they are now. However, Bill Clinton trying to work with both sides of the aisle allowed the DLC to become more powerful, and that was a mistake. And while I agree that some of our Democratic Party positions need to be perhaps a little bit more moderate at times, we don't need to be sold out to the right wing as the DLC would have us do just to regain power. And it seems to me that's exactly what they're after. And we Democrats need to remember our purpose, you know, our reason for being. And that's to protect the common man, the working class, from the injustices and the inequities the ruling class would force us to accept. You know, throughout history, the ruling class, whenever possible, has put their boot on the neck of the working man and forced him to serve the rich. And the DLC literally owes their existence to the corporate world and to the fat cats in the Democratic Party. And unless the rest of us want our party to become Republican light, we need to resist their efforts to gain control. You know, it wasn't the ideals of the Democratic Party that lost this last election. It was not the lack of hard work on the part of the grassroots. It was the failure of those at the top to take a stand on the issues, a Democratic Party stand. That's all we ask of our candidates and our DNC officials. Take a stand. Be real Democrats. Remember the foundation of the party. Remember the people that started the party and why, and the work of all the grassroots people. and what we're working towards. But so many times they forget about that. They totally forget about it. 888-602-7500, 7501, 7502, 7503, and 7504. Hey, I'd like to thank some of our recent contributors to the program. Eric Peterson, David Goggins in Eureka, California, William Sherrill, Ralph Edmondson in St. Louis, Richard Prez, Naples, Florida, Mr. and Mrs. Harold Schechter of Fort Myers, Elizabeth Harlow, Virginia Miller, Newton, Iowa, and Elaine Miller in Newton, Iowa. You know, they each send $50 every month. And Richard McCarthy in Naples, Florida, and C.E. Frainer from Naples, Florida, Robert and Sable Wright in Durham, North Carolina, Larry and Judy Golinski in Naples, Florida, Ryan Veith, Martin and Michelle Kaysner in Chicago, Illinois, Elizabeth Harlow of Fort Myers, Patrick O'Sullivan in Fort Myers, both sent very nice gifts to the program, Paul Gibson in Naples, Florida, William Sherrill in Syracuse, New York, John Coolidge in Portland, Maryland, Luciano, your city, Bill Beaumont sends a $10 money order like clockwork every month. I'm so proud of him. Jahan and Mary Charles in Fort Myers, Florida, Mr. and Mrs. Arnie Arneson, Gene Legg in Valley City, North Dakota, Mr. and Mrs. Tom Sir, Chris Kern in Hudson, Florida, Carolyn Wyatt, Madison, Wisconsin, Danielle Mosier in Bethesda, Maryland, and William Tuttingham in Naples, Florida. Let's see, we got anybody else on this list? Hey, I do have an announcement I want to make for our good friends down at the Collier County Democratic Club. They meet the third Monday of every month at 6 p.m. Write that down. The third Monday of every month at 6 p.m. at the Naples Bath and Tennis Club. Pretty nice digs, I'll tell you. On Airport Road in Naples. And for more information regarding Democratic activities in Collier County, log on to Collier Democrats, CollierDemocrats.org. Always a whole lot going on with the Collier Democrats. Those people are wild, wild Democrats down here in Collier County. Believe me. And just a few more names here. One of, indulge me for a minute. Gina Gilbert Pollock, David Birch. Speaking of David Birch, he runs a great website called WhiteRoseSociety.org where this program is archived. If you don't have time to listen to the whole program each and every week, you can go to WhiteRoseSociety.org and catch any one of the past shows and listen to it, download it, listen to it at your convenience in your car. So we appreciate the efforts of David Birch. He's got a lot of fine programs archived on there as well, some of my favorites. Gretchen Adams, Robert Blankenship, Lawrence Nader, Elena Labar, Helen Poker, what a doll, Robert Wood, Vicki Sandak, Marie Nelson, Robert DeVale, J.D. Morrow, Linda Davis, Jeff Matson, Joseph Hinckley, Susan O'Donnell, Paul Johnson, Jeffrey Hales. We're so proud of all those people for helping us put this program on the air each and every week. We do appreciate your help so very, very much. Well, I think we're going to pause for a break right now. Are we okay with that, Biz? We are. We're going to pause for a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Stay tuned.
Restoring the liberal media, The Guy James Show.
Most people know that a life insurance policy pays a death benefit, a lump sum payment when they die. But did you know there are benefits you can tap into when you're alive, such as an accelerated death benefit? Bob Plyben, president of the Association for Advanced Life Underwriting, explains.
The accelerated death benefit is the ability to access the death benefit, or at least a part of it, while you're still living, to meet medical needs and to enhance your quality of life when you're terminally ill.
Does permanent life insurance offer any living benefits?
Permanent life insurance builds reserve value or cash value. Those are values that people can access at very important times of their life, medical emergencies, business opportunities, educating their children, and at the same time maintain their life insurance.
Another benefit, when you borrow against a permanent life insurance policy, rates tend to be low and the loan does not depend on credit checks or other restrictions. This Financial Security News Minute has been brought to you by the Life and Health Insurance Foundation for Education.
His first months were supposed to be at home. His first years, not such a worry. It's no one's fault. We did everything right. But still, our son was born 3 months premature, and no one knows why.
More than 460,000 babies are born premature each year, nearly half for unknown reasons. Please support March of Dimes research. Visit marchofdimes.com or call 1-888-966-3222.
I just wish someone could tell me why.
Premature birth. The answers can't come soon enough.
The Laura Ingraham Show.
We're going to share travel horror stories.
The woman behind us was passing gas that smelled like a Nebraska feedlot about every 10 minutes through the entire flight.
I want to go to a flight attendant. Carly, listening in Houston.
I have a confession to make about the flatulence. We don't want to stink up the galley, so we just call it crop dusting and walk down the aisle and let her rip.
What? This is disturbing.
Laura Ingraham, weekday mornings at 9 and weeknights at 9 on Wing WNOG.
You've heard the right. Now all that's left is the truth. Guy James.
Oh, here we are back in the last hour of the program. We got just about 38 minutes left in the program this evening. Glad to have you along with us at our new time here on The Guy James Show. I do invite all of you to visit our website, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can click on a spot there and donate to the program. Help fund it to keep us on the air. We do appreciate it. You know, I nearly choked Thursday when Tom DeLay got up and tried to make an issue of the Democrats not having any plans for America. Did you hear Tom DeLay when he got up in that, that discussion they had after the Barbara Boxer issue? You know, I guess he hasn't heard the Democratic Party all by themselves protects and defends our environment. I guess he isn't aware that the Democratic Party has always been and always be promoting the cause of the working man. You know, the universal health care, Mr. DeLay, is something we Democrats have fought long and hard for, but the other party wants none of it. The other party wants the minimum wage to remain where it is right now for all eternity. They want the smokestacks of yesteryear to return and foul the air. They really wouldn't mind if we had 100 love canals in this country, just so long as their corporate masters are making the huge profits that their Republicans always give them. And I guess Mr. DeLay doesn't think the Democratic position on prescription drugs is worth a worthy endeavor as well. You know, of course he doesn't, because the Republicans have fought tooth and nail against anything the Democrats have tried to do and have done to help the American public deal with the terrible rising cost of prescription drugs. Let's face it. The Republicans have fought against nearly all of the advancements of our society for nearly 100 years. They fought against everything. It's been, you know, they fought the New Deal. They fought Social Security. They fought civil rights. They fought minimum wage. You name it, they were against it. Name me one thing. Name me one damn thing the Republican Party has done for average Joe American in the last 100 years. One thing. You know, no, don't count the many advantages they've given the rich. Tell me what the Republican Party... You know, Tom DeLay has they have accomplished sending their sons and daughters off to get killed in this war. They have accomplished that. They've done that for the average Joe and Sally American. Sure. You know, and Tom DeLay had the nerve to say the Democrats don't have any initiatives on the table. You know, we already know DeLay is a top-notch liar and fraud, and the Republicans know stock. He's a disgrace. He's the Jim Trafficking of the Republican Party, only he is in a position of leadership. In fact, in the House of Representatives, he is the leadership. Trafficant is in prison. You know, he's in prison where he richly deserves to be. But his cellmate ought to be Tom DeLay. I don't think there's any question about that. Wouldn't they get along well? Wouldn't they just get along really well? Tom DeLay. You know, I like to talk about the wackos out there recently. We talked a little earlier about Pat Robertson. Man, some of you might think I pick on, but he's an easy target. He makes himself an easy target. I picked up a few things he said this week, and as always, he left me shaking my head. After I read what he says, I'm usually just totally bewildered. I mean, on the January 3rd edition of the Christian Broadcasting Network 700 Club, Reverend Pat Robertson, the host and Christian Coalition of American founder, he made predictions for the new year based on what he said God told him during a recent prayer retreat. You know, Robertson said that God told him, and quote, I'm going to quote God here now. This is what Robertson said. This is God talking. I will remove judges from the Supreme Court quickly, and their successors will refuse to sanction the attacks on religious faith. Robertson also said that he heard it from the Lord that President Bush will have Social Security and tax reform passed, and that the Muslims will turn to Jesus Christ. I did say that he said the Lord said that George Bush will have the Social Security and tax reform passed. Now, I guess God's really getting involved in politics now. But Robertson goes on. He wrote a letter to his supporters. Now, this guy is someone's got to find out that he's certifiably insane. Robertson asked his supporters to pray for the liberal Supreme Court justices to retire. And I quote, "Would you join with me and many others in crying out to our Lord to change the Supreme Court? One justice is 83 years old, another has cancer, and another has a heart condition. These are the liberal judges he's talking about. Would it not be possible for God to put it in the minds of these three judges that the time has come to retire? With their retirement and the appointment of conservative judges, a massive change in federal jurisprudence can take place." When asked to clarify his remarks, according to a July 17th Associated Press report, Robertson said that he was not talking about any particular Supreme Court justice when he asked his television audience to pray that three liberal justices soon retire. He said, "I don't care which three. I mean, as long as the three conservatives stay on. That's six liberals, so it's up to the Lord." So that is one good thing. He is leaving it up to the Lord now. And, you know, other famous things that Robertson has said along those lines. In 1988, he said, "I heard the Lord saying, 'I have something else for you to do, Pat. I want you to run for president of the United States.' You know, I never knew that. I never knew that God endorsed Pat Robertson for president in 1988. I wish I would have known that at the time. I might have voted for him." Well, I'm not voting against God, for crying out loud. God says, "Pat, I've got to go with Pat." And then he said, "I assure you that I'm going to be the next president of the United States." And I can't hardly have a show without Mr. Falwell or Mr. Robinson on. And also, some of these crazies that on this other website I went to this week said Jesus Christ would not approve of giving money to people, talking about the tsunami. Jesus Christ would not approve of giving money to people to build houses again in an area that is, let's face it, prone to this activity. Nothing in the Bible, this writer goes on to say, nowhere in the Bible does it say, "Blessed are the stupid." The government taking money from you and I and giving it away to these people is not charity, it's forced slavery of you and I. Now that's a compassionate conservative talking right there. Yes, it is. And another comment on the same website, a conservative website, and I quote, "I was looking up a map of the affected area, and Indonesia seemed to have been hit the hardest. From the CIA World Factbook, Indonesia is 88% Muslim. Sometimes foreign aid money is well spent, but giving it to a Muslim country is a waste." Let the ragheads take care of their own. Well, that's more compassionate conservatism. Now, I've got a lot more of that here, but I think you get the message. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Ray in New Haven. Hi, Ray.
Well, good evening, I guess.
Yes,
this time.
Good.
Congratulations on your new location and time.
Thank you, sir.
And it's such a pleasure to be able to talk to you again. I was thinking about Armstrong Williams, having listened to you earlier and hadn't heard about that latest deal. But I'm going to add it as an important addition, current addition, to my website, JesusNoRepublican.org. But now that you're talking about Pat Robertson, that just boils my blood. As you know, but some of your readers may not know, I'm a Christian minister, have been for 40 years now, and very intent on promoting belief in Jesus Christ, not the Christians and not people like Pat Robertson, who are as much like Jesus Christ as Beelzebub was. Actually, the man is not just insane, he's just teaching the very opposite of what Jesus taught and living the very opposite of what Jesus taught. You know that Pat Robertson lives in a mansion that has three fences around it?
I didn't know. Three fences.
Three fences, right. He can't stand the idea of the public getting anywhere near him and his wealth, and he has something like 14 security guards, he claims to represent Jesus.
And he's involved in diamond mines, am I correct?
Oh, diamond mines. Actually, the place to check this out is on my website, the other website, liberalslikechrist.org/blindleaders. And you'll see a lot about Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell and a whole slew of other so-called so-called evangelical preachers. They're not evangelical preachers. Evangelical stands for gospel, and they don't preach the gospel, that is, the teaching of Jesus Christ and the life of Jesus Christ. Their teaching has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, except they use his name in vain. Talk about using the name of God, or the name of Jesus in this case, in vain. These people live and thrive on it and become millionaires doing it. And fools follow them and can't see the contrast between Jesus and them. It's just insane. So thank God for people like yourself. You're doing something just wonderful for Christianity. That is, the Christianity of Jesus, the following of Jesus, by showing the hypocrisy and the lies and the fraud of people like Pat Robertson and Tom DeLay and George W. Bush. These people are not followers of Christ. They're followers of a guy named Machiavelli.
Yes.
A philosopher of,
yes,
of the Middle Ages in Italy, who taught politicians, including popes, how to be dishonest and how to gain power and influence over the world by being deceitful and using religion and Christianity, for the most part, to do it.
Absolutely. Nothing in the Christianity I learned as a young man and throughout my life, growing up as an adult, nothing of it translates into the way these people act right now.
No, and I keep hearing from people all over the country, it's so wonderful. They write, say, oh, thank God for your websites. I didn't think that there was real Christianity left in this world. I'm surrounded by people who speak Christianity but live the total opposite of what Christ stood for. So I urge you, your listeners, to check out liberalslikechrist.org and jesusnorepublican.org, which sites, incidentally, Guy, are going to be updated. I've got a major professional web designer who's going to be working with me to give the site a polish that it doesn't have.
Oh, very good. Very good.
So hopefully that'll happen this year.
Hey, Ray, thanks so much for your call. It's always good to hear from you, and I know you are an ardent defender of Christianity, and it hurts so many times to see the faith that so many of us have be, well, just totally misrepresented as to what it really is. And it's gentlemen like you and your website and all that try and put things back in the proper perspective.
Well, thanks a million, Guy. And you might consider putting a link to the sites on your website.
I'll try and do that. I've got to learn how to take care of my website. I don't do that presently, and I need to learn how to do that so I can be more responsive to people's needs. Thank you, Ray.
Well, you need help. Take care, then. God love you.
Yeah, you know what Ray says, and it hurts me. It hurts so many of us that we're brought up. I don't do the show to preach to people. It's certainly not the intent nor the mission of the program. But many of us listen to do this program, and those of you that listen to this program, whether you have faith or whether you don't, it doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that I know what I believe and what I believed all my entire life and what I've learned as a child and what I've practiced in my life and the way I try and live my life. And it pains me. It pains me so much to see people use something that's for such good and such a, frankly, in such an evil manner. To use something that is so great and good and has, by its very nature, is good for humanity. To use it for power, for political gain, for money, it's disturbing. It really is disturbing. The deceit involved in that sometimes is just plain overwhelming. It really is. I don't understand it, and I don't think I ever will. Say, how many of you got that email from John Kerry the other night? I think it was, Wednesday night? Yeah. You know, like so many of you, I got that. I'm going to make some people mad with what I'm going to say right now. I know I'm going to make some of you mad. Doggone it, it's what I feel, and I'd be less than honest if I didn't say what I really feel. As you know, I don't ever candy coat anything on this program. I do say what I feel, and if it rubs some of you the wrong way, well, forgive me, and we'll go on. But it's my honest feelings, and you can always be absolutely assured of that. But, you know, like a lot of you did on Wednesday night, I got that, and I'm sorry, but it was a pathetic letter from John Kerry Wednesday night, and I really couldn't believe what I was reading. And to be honest, maybe I could believe it. It was just one more instance where John Kerry took the path of least resistance. You know, I know the man is a war hero. I know he's an honorable man. I know that, but he wimped out. You know, along with about other, maybe 45 other Democratic senators. It was another gutless performance by our Democratic elected officials. And you see, they just couldn't afford to take even the slightest chance that supporting the issues would make them look like some sort of radical, thus costing them votes from the Democratic base. You know, I've got news for our Democratic senators. You lost a tremendous amount of support from the rank and file, from the base of the Democrats. You know, you see, the average Democrat doesn't like the fact that we're out here working hard for the party and its issues. But when something serious comes up, like election for, you know, reform and these problems we ran into, you, our elected officials, run for the hills because you're worried about more about getting reelected than you are about serving your constituency. Reelection. That's all many of you are concerned about. You know, a month or so ago, I talked about, earlier tonight even, talked about Fritz Hollings bearing his soul as to the workings of the Senate and how the money grubbing begins on the very first day they're elected and how many hours of their workday are spent gathering funds for reelection. Now, I've told you before, and many of you know this, and many of you maybe share this experience, but I've been to Washington and walked the halls of the Russell and the Hart office buildings, and I've seen the opulent offices of the senators and the way they're treated like kings, and I don't blame anyone for not wanting to leave that atmosphere of prestige and power. But that's not what our founding fathers intended when they set this whole thing up. They never intended for people to become professional politicians living off the people, and more importantly, the fathers most certainly never intended for the senators to become to be paid puppets of the lobbyists, and that's exactly what they've gotten to be. But back to John Kerry. I'm extremely disappointed in him. He wasn't my choice for president, and I know he wasn't the choice of many of you listening right now, but when he was chosen as our candidate, we all fell in line behind him, and we fought the good fight on his behalf. But when it came to his fighting for himself, I think he let us all down. John, take my word for it, and accept the fact that no matter what you do now, you will never again gain the favor of the party like you did before. We'll see you as a quitter, and as sometimes a guy who won't go the extra mile to get an all-important victory. You let us down this week, John. Your time as a leader of the party is over. And you are the one who brought it to an end. It's sad but true. John Kerry, a fine man, an honorable man, an honest man, many wonderful, wonderful traits has John Kerry. But he didn't have the fight, and he didn't have the fire in his eye to get the job done, and I was very disappointed this week that he sent a letter out virtually telling all of us that we should go ahead and fight the fight, but he wasn't going to. And that's basically what it said. Now, I know some of you are going to say, well, he's a United States senator, and he couldn't afford to get involved in that. Why not? Why not? Why couldn't any other senator stand up with John Conyers and say, yes, I go along with this too. We've got to straighten this out. As I've said before, no one expected to change the electoral vote this week. That wasn't the purpose of John Conyers' mission. What? Not at all. It wasn't what Barbara Boxer was after. There were just many inequities, many problems with this vote that need to be taken care of, that popped up in 2000, popped up again in 2004, and they're going to pop up again until they're resolved. But everybody wants to sweep them under the rug. And everybody puts out little token support for people who want to take care of it. But when it comes down to the nitty-gritty, let's face it, most of our Democratic elected officials, and I know it's a strong word, they were cowards. They didn't want to risk their political life to stand up for what's right. Again, the re-election, the re-election, the re-election. That's what's important to these people. You know, it saddens me that even my favorite people in Washington, some of the people I admire so very much, it's the re-election. That's all they think about, and that's how they vote. You know, I saw people that stood up and, well, before the press and supported Barbara Boxer for this. How many of you saw this? I saw many people congratulate Barbara. I saw Hillary congratulate Barbara Boxer for standing up for this. Where were you, Hillary? Where? How can you congratulate her for doing it, but you didn't have the courage to do it yourself? Those are the first unkind things you've ever heard me say about Hillary Clinton, right? Yes, but I didn't like that. I think they all should have stood in solidarity. And let me tell you one more thing. If these people don't unite against this Gonzalez, if they don't unite and fight the good fight, many of our congressional and senatorial leaders are going to find themselves hard-pressed to gain favor with the Democratic base again. You know, remember that Gonzalez said this statement, and I quote, "I don't recall specifically whether or not I requested this memo. Now, if any of you can tell me, can look me in the eye and tell me that a man who made that statement deserves to be the Attorney General of the United States, there's something just plain wrong with you. If you would vote for a man that made that statement, I don't recall specifically whether or not I requested this memo, that proves to me right there that he's either a liar, which I think is the case, or the other option is that he's incompetent. One of the two. Which is it? Either way, he doesn't have what it takes to be the Attorney General of the United States. And the Republicans are going to beat on this, and they're going to beat on this, because you know what the Democrats are afraid of? You know what they're afraid of? Here we are, the party that has championed the minorities year after year after year. We have been the party that fights for the rights of the minorities. The Democrats have. But the Democrats are afraid now that if they fight this Gonzalez appointment, if they fight it, that the Republicans are going to hit him over the head and say, see, those Democrats, they didn't want a Hispanic in as Attorney General. That's what they're afraid of. And if they let that go, they're bigger cowards than I even think they are at this moment. The man is not fit to be the Attorney General of the United States. You know it. I know it. Most of the senators know it. The question is, will they have the courage to fight the good fight here? I don't know. Right now, I think it's doubtful. I think the man will get appointed easily. I hope I'm wrong. Let's go to Juanita in Winter Haven. Hi, Juanita.
Hello there. I missed you, and I'm glad I finally found you after I've listened to the Cigar Man about five.
Oh.
Anyway, I wrote this to Senator Kerry. I'm so disappointed in our party for not backing the voters. What difference does it make to be sure the votes are counted? It means we stand up for our rights. Any of you who does not stand up for us should resign. Stop treating this Antichrist like a king. Criticize, please. Not just you, but all the Democrats. We don't have the press. If I did not get information online, I would think I had lost my mind. Please don't let us down. Stand up, and be counted for us, the little people. Others I know who got your email are disappointed, extremely so. A lot of people I've heard on the air and everything and online, they're very disappointed. And another thing, you know, God keeps getting quoted or so-called quoted by the religious leaders or whoever. But, you know, when you when you have children, if they lie about you, that's okay. You can take it a while. But when they lie about your children, that really makes you mad. And, you know, they're telling a lot of lies on Jesus because he said, love your enemies, be good to those who despitefully use you. And I think God's going to get fed up after a while, and especially talking about his son.
Well, it's a travesty the way they've used the good name of Christianity to beat people over the head with it. I think it's a disgrace.
I just want to mention, too, I did write an email to Helen Thomas, and she responded. She's one of the few who will respond, and you know that she's read it by the response she gives, you know, and I just want to say a little thing for her because she's fighting for us, too.
Helen Thomas, one of the best.
One of my heroes.
One of the best
there
ever was.
And you know, the only ones in the Congress that really that have stood up for us for quite a while is the Black Caucus.
That's right. You're exactly right. And I feel bad that we've let them down.
They just keep on. They don't give up.
That's right. They all had guts to stand up and weather the storm. They all had guts to stand up and look Tom DeLay in the eye. No good snake. He's a no good snake. And they all had the courage, even after the disparaging remarks he made after him, they had the guts to do it, and the rest of them didn't, and I'm ashamed.
And you notice the Republicans' talking points on that, that they had to bring up Michael Moore, bedevil him, and also that we're conspiracy, whatever it's called.
Oh, sure.
You know, some little talking points. They all got together before that.
And you remember how they, you know, saying get over it and all that sort of stuff. Well, what about these? What about this governorship rate out in Washington right now? They're not getting over that, are they?
No.
Oh no, they want a re-election now. Yeah. They want to do it over again.
Well, that's it. When the shoe's on the other foot, it's different, you know.
Ah, it's hilarious. It really is. Juanita, thank you for your call.
Okay, and welcome back. I'm so glad.
Thank you.
Have you back?
Thanks. Good to be here. We're going to pause for a break right now. Yeah, you're listening to the Guy James Show here on Wink WNOG, Fort Myers, Naples, Florida, and we'll be right back just after a couple of words. Stay tuned.
A Democrat and proud of it, Guy James.
Dear Beth, I have so much to say to you, and this seems the only way to do it. Maybe you can check your email from heaven. You probably don't remember me, but my name is Stacy. I was behind you the other night, and I stopped when I saw the smoke. At first, I couldn't move, but then I found a strength I didn't know I had. I reached into the broken window, touched your wrist, and found a faint pulse. You weren't breathing. As I touched your neck, your head moved, and you gasped softly for air. Thank God, I thought. She's alive. There's a chance. I was holding your head in my hands and softly stroking your hair, and had a million things spinning in my head. God, she's just a young girl, I thought. You opened your eyes for merely moments. I'm here with you. I'm not leaving you. Help is on the way. Then your eyes closed. Come on, fight, I said. And I knew you were trying.
But Beth Hoime did not survive her encounter with a drunk driver. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
And coming up in the next news break, perhaps the single most important thing you can do to help your child learn when back in school. Hey, better yet, we'll tell you right now. The better your child can see in school, the easier your child can learn in school. Vision screenings are good, but they can't detect many vision problems that interfere with learning. So make sure your child has a comprehensive eye exam for back in school.
A message from the American Optometric Association.
On the next Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Hi, George Norrie back with you on Coast to Coast AM, back from a week's vacation, and I'm ready to go. So get ready for our Coast to Coast ride this entire week.
Coast to Coast follows Laura, weeknights at midnight on Wing WNOG.
Southwest Florida's official news, weather, and traffic station. Wing WNOG.
And now, back to the nation's number one Democratic talk show host, Guy James.
I'm shocked, I tell you. I can't believe no one has called in to defend Armstrong Williams. Why? A week ago, 3-4 days ago, you ask anybody on the right about Armstrong Williams, they tell you, now there is a good, upstanding man. See, there is a good, honest man, Armstrong Williams. Where are they now? Armstrong Williams, the media whore, the new example of media whore from the Republican Party. Now, there are many media whores from the Republican Party, but now Armstrong Williams is the champion. And he stands alone at the top of the heap, and I do mean heap. For how many more are there out there? Don't you wonder? I do. Are there more outings like this forthcoming? How many more checks were issued? Did Bob Novak get one for Valerie Plame? Did he? They must have put a big price on Valerie Plame. Of course. It'd be interesting to find out. And who else? Who else? We got Limbaugh and Hannity. I think Limbaugh probably makes too much money to do that. I'm not sure. Not that he hasn't parroted their talking points straight out of the White House faucet whenever they wanted it. He's done it. But, there are plenty, and we'll find out. Oh, we'll find out. There are more. But, Hillary, you were exonerated on this. The great, vast, white, right-wing conspiracy, it's there. It's there. It certainly is there. 888-602-7500 if you'd like to give us a call and let us know what you think about it. I'd like to know what you have to think about it. I'd like to know what you think about what I had to say about John Kerry. I'm extremely disappointed in John Kerry. I don't know who told him to write that letter the other night, or who did write it, if he did actually write it, but man, I tell you, it made me blink a few times when I read it. It's just something I didn't want to see from John Kerry. And again, don't misrepresent or misunderstand what we're saying here. We're not saying that we wanted to use that to overturn the election. That's not it at all. There are so many proven inequities in this past election. So many terrible mistakes were made, and who knows if they were all mistakes. Personally, I think it's hard to look at all of it and not think that some of it was a conspiracy. I do. It's just hard to look at all of it and think there wasn't some sort of a conspiracy going on, but we don't have the proof. So we can't take it to court, can we? We can't say anything about it. Not until we have the proof, and I don't know if we'll ever get the proof. But anyway, it's going to be interesting coming up this week, more of the Albert Gonzalez thing. I think the Democrats have been pretty quiet about it. Oh yeah, they're gonna for show on there on the hearings. They're gonna complain a little bit here and there, but it's going to be interesting to me to see how many of them have the guts to vote against him. I wonder how many will have the guts to vote against him. We'll see. I'm betting not very many. That's kind of the way I feel about the party right now. I just think we've been too quiet. I think we've been too easy. I think we ran a wimpy campaign. When I say we, I don't mean the grassroots people. I know how hard all of my friends worked. I know how hard the grassroots people all over this country worked. And I know they all had visions of putting a Democrat in the White House, and I know that they were all sure they were going to. They put their money up, their hard-earned money, where their mouths were. People worked hard, knocked on doors, did the phones, did the whole deal. I think if the Democratic leadership had worked anywhere near as hard as the grassroots people did, we'd have a Democrat in the White House being inaugurated on the 20th of this month. But instead, we face four more years of the incompetent George W. Bush in office. 4 more years of people wondering if they're going to have a job next week. You know, we lost, what was it? Unemployment went back up again. Initial claims went back up this last month, 43,000 taking claims to their highest level since late September. We're going to have a lot of that. This has not been a booming economy. The jobs that the tax cut, they solemnly promised all these jobs if we did this tax cut. Did we get them? No, certainly not. We didn't get any more jobs than we normally would have gotten. The tax cut, as it turns out, was a complete... it didn't matter as far as jobs are concerned. We got no extra jobs from the tax cut whatsoever. None. So, you know, another lie from the Bush camp. They knew that. These people aren't idiots. The people that plan these things, they know what happened there. They knew it was all a joke. There's no question about it. No question about it whatsoever. Well, I'd be interested in getting your thoughts about a lot of these things. You know, www.theguyjamesshow.com. You can email me at guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. And I do want to remind you once again that this is a listener-supported program. It takes a lot of money to keep a program going. They don't give us free airtime around here. And we don't take a salary from this program, never have. And, in fact, Well, it just costs money. So help us out on the program. We do appreciate it. And once again, I do want you to know that many of our Republican friends said we'd never survive, and we have. We've fought through a lot of adversity with having this program on the last couple of years. There have been some really tough times. There have been times we didn't think we'd have another show because of lack of funds. And we appreciate all that you folks have given, have done to help us out. And we'll continue to promise you a good program each and every week. Once again, I do want to remind you that we have to have Dr. John Sperling on next week. And I promise you, he is a fascinating, fascinating man. A very fascinating man. And you will enjoy an interview with him. And we promise to have many other very fine Democrats and liberal folks on in the near future. As you know, we've got a long history on this program of having some great guests. Won't go through the whole list right now, but those of you that have been listening for the last couple of years know that we've had some very, very fine guests on this program, and we'll continue to do that for you. So do help us out. Go to the website, www.theguyjamesshow.com, and throw a couple nickels into the plate. We always appreciate that so we can pay the bills. We, on our first show in our new time slot, in the first show on the new stations, we started off a little rocky there tonight, but I think we'll have that all. We know where we went wrong. I bet a lot of you didn't know who Cigar Dave was before tonight. He has a weekend show on every week. So, hey, I do want to thank you once again for listening to the program. You make our time on here worthwhile. We enjoy hearing your comments. You've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. Thanks for listening.
The Guy James Show is the cooperative effort of a talented and dedicated staff. Executive producer.
Marissa! Let's go! You are not missing school again. All right, then. Hit it. I know you can hear this. Cut that noise, yo! I'm coming! Took you long enough.
Hey, whatever it takes, don't let your friends drop out. For more ways to help, go to OperationGraduation.com. A public service message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Who's the most popular superhero with kids today? It's Mom. Ask any kid.
My mom's my hero because when our soccer coach got sick, Mom coached the whole team into the final. Way to go, Mom! And now my mom just did the coolest thing. She took the pledge to keep our home smoke-free. Way to go, Mom!
Protect your kids from bronchitis, pneumonia, asthma attacks, respiratory illnesses, even sudden infant death syndrome. Call 1-866-SMOKE-FREE. Go out for your kids. You're their hero.
Coming up on the top of the hour, and the news is next. This is WPTK Pine Island Center, the station for Power Talk. Power Talk 1200.
Another death from the South Carolina chlorine leak. I'm Richard Cantu, and the body of a ninth victim was found today in the textile plant where he worked in Graniteville, South Carolina, where a freight train crash Thursday released a cloud of poisonous chlorine gas. ABC's Donna Renee says it'll be a few more days before thousands of people who were evacuated will be allowed to return to their homes.
As crews work round the clock to patch a hole in one of the leaking tankers, nearby residents are...